Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Right now, we are exactly 28 hours away from the launch of Fall of the Republic. Fall of the Republic will be released in 28 hours at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow, premiering at PrisonPlanet.tv. I want everybody to start their engines in the info war for a massive assault on the globalist. They have been shrieking in horror all over mainstream media. I got attacked again yesterday by Salon. It's every couple days now. George Soros' operations are pounding us. I love it. Send more people to us to shatter your controlled left-right paradigm. They are coming out of the woodwork shrieking, admitting that the Obama deception is absolutely devastating to them. If they didn't like Obama deception, they're really not going to like Fall of the Republic. Volume 1, The Presidency of Barack H. Obama. It is tailor-made to shatter the left-right paradigm. It is the 2.0 of the Obama deception squared. It is to the next power. The production quality, the information. We show them the left-right paradigm. We show them the TV mind control. We show the public how they're in a trance. We show them the police state grid. We show them who the criminals are that must be brought to justice if we're going to stop the tyranny we're living in. Once we identify the ruling elite and the private banks and point out to everyone that they're the criminals, it's only a matter of time till they fall. 10 years ago, nobody I talked to, maybe 1 out of 100 knew the Federal Reserve was private. Others would laugh at you. Now everyone knows. Everyone knows they're the enemy. They're completely unpopular in every poll. Between 75 and 95, depending on the poll you look at, they are unpopular. People know they're the real government now, and it's just the beginning. But it's going to be rough. The enemy's going to counterstrike on us on so many levels, on so many fronts. Ladies and gentlemen, Fall of the Republic is about to come out. Fall of the Republic. You hold the destiny of humanity in your hands. Make no mistake, we've got a tough road we're going down. But I can see Valhalla over the mountain. I can see the valley. And I know we're going to beat these people as long as we have that vision in our mind of defeating the enemy. Believing you can defeat them, knowing you can defeat them, identifying them is the beginning of victory. Then you've got to simply have the courage. And let me tell you, once you go past the point of return, it's not even courage. It's magnetic. You are drawn towards the confrontation. You are drawn into the gap. You are sucked by destiny into the vortex of history and humanity and into honor and everything that's good and wholesome. Your soul begins to burn with honor and goodness and creativity and beauty and strength so great it threatens to tear you apart. Oh, I'm so thankful that I was not taken by the New World Order. I'm so thankful that I woke up. I'm so thankful that I'm truly alive. I'm so thankful that I'm fulfilled. I was on a radio station in Missoula, Montana, where people are waking up in mass. It's unbelievable. And I was talking to the talk show host, Mr. Miller, and he was talking about how they're noticing that Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com is driving the news. How everything we cover weeks and months before, exactly as we cover it, ends up being mainstream media. And I said, excuse me, sir, I'm not driving anything. I'm strapped to a rocket that is the great listeners, the activists of this show. Let me tell you who's carrying the ball. Let me tell you who's going up as an underdog and starting to win. And starting to realize you weren't an underdog. You were a gigantic armored colossus. And the New World Order was a pot-bellied demon. We're going to stomp flatter than a pancake. That rocket is you. Yes!
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are going live for 3.5 hours today. Oh, we're live all 4 hours on radio. This 20th day of October. This Tuesday, 20th day of October, 2009. We're going to simulcast the last 3.5 hours coming up in T-minus 22 minutes at prisonplanet.tv for all the viewers over there. Because I want to show a few clips later in the broadcast from Fall of the Republic. Because guess what I'm holding in my hot little hands? We got some advanced copies of these last week. And we got a couple thousand in yesterday. But the big bulk shipment of these babies came in today. And I am holding Fall of the Republic, or Fall, as Charlie Sheen calls it. I'm holding Fall in my hands right now. This is an incredible level of satisfaction. 6 months of blood, sweat, and tears. It would take a normal documentary filmmaker, I'm not bragging, conservatively a year or two to make this. But we put our essence into these films. And to be holding this weapon system in my hand, it is like I've had another child. The sense of satisfaction and reward and completion and wholesomeness and goodness, the pat on the head I get from the universe, just is absolutely fulfilling. Fulfillment. All these people out there that want money and power and fame, and it means nothing. To all the people out there that Madison Avenue has made to feel insecure and weak, the first thing they do is make you feel insecure and weak and pathetic so they can then sell you their mind system, sell you their worldview, sell you their ideas, which are death and destruction and tyranny and weakness. And then you get weaker and weaker and you think, oh, if I just buy into their plan more, maybe then I'll get fulfillment. But when you actually stand against tyranny, when you actually say, I don't care if they kill me, I don't care if they imprison me, I don't care if they torture me, I don't care what they do to me, it's so liberating. And I could say this is the most fulfilling thing in my life, but it is at an ingrained, hardwired level more satisfying to see new children come into the world and to love my children. But it's inexorably attached to that. It is like a child. Because through films like this, through works like this, we are going to reach millions and millions and millions of people's minds. That is such a sacred honor. It is such a limitlessly important thing. It is so crushingly humbling to make a commitment, to make an commitment to goodness. And it doesn't mean I'm perfect. That's the lie of the New World Order. It tells you you've got to be perfect. That's what the devil does, is whispers into your psyche, into your conscience. Oh, you're not good. You're not going to have all the answers. You're worthless. Oh, you're trying to be good, but there's no point. Nobody else is going to be good. Nobody else cares. No, but you know, why don't you go ahead and cheat? Why don't you go ahead and try to get ahead? Why don't you go ahead and join the evil? But once you ignore that and just stand up to goodness, stand up for goodness, stand up in goodness, and say no to the corruption, no to the evil, things just change in your life. And I just want people so badly to experience the fight against the New World Order and to see the results that come out of standing up against tyranny. That's what I want people to experience. That's what I want people to know. That's what I want people to understand. Because it is indescribable how good it is and how fulfilling it is to know that at least my films are polished and focused and getting better and better each time and really represent the truth and really represent a deep view into what I know and what I understand, and to be able to at least at one level put a message out that is very close to pure. When you come up here, when anybody gets up on the radio and you engage in 2, 3, 4 hours of radio a day, or in the case of what I do, when I'm doing a lot of interviews, some days I've done 10, 11, 12 hours of talking, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to stumble. Your English is going to get bad. You're going to get tongue-tied. And it's frustrating because in your psyche, in your intellect, in your intellectual understanding, what you're trying to put in simple words is so much more complex and so much more detailed and so clear. And if you could only get people to see what you're seeing and to understand what you're understanding and to read the globalist documents and to see them on video announcing not just that there's a world government, but what that world government's going to consist of, pure bondage. If you could just get people to see what you've discovered. I use the analogy a lot because I've read quite a bit of criminology and I've seen the basic psychology played out over and over again of when a neighbor sees something suspicious, looks like a bundle, looks like a dead body being put in the back of a car, and then years later, the serial killer neighbor gets caught kidnapping some woman or some child. And so police finally show up at the house, go into the basement or the backyard and dig up 15, 20, 35 people, 40-something people, depending on the cases. And the neighbor just can't believe that their neighbor was actually a murderer that went out and preyed on people like a big black spider, a big hairy spider, and drug them back into their nest to torture them to death in their little dungeons. And see, I have seen the New World Order's documents. I've read where they're putting poison in our water. I've read where they're chemtrailing us and they're bragging about it. I've read where they plan to take all our children at birth and raise them in dormitories and kill the majority of us and have controlled bioweapons releases. And I've read where they invented AIDS as a soft kill weapon that attacks Africans more than any other group that's race specific. I've read Dick Cheney, where he talks about the use of race-specific bioweapons in the September 20th, 2000, rebuilding America's defenses. I know about the dead bodies in the basement. I've seen them covered in maggots. I see it every time I just have an inkling of fear or doubt about the path I'm on fighting these people. I just think about all the innocents they're tearing limb from limb that they're having their way with. And then I'm just completely filled with energy and resistance against this tyranny. And it is so fulfilling to be able to make a film that I'm proud of, to make a film that's high quality, to make a film that's truthful, that I've done my best to make sure is 100% accurate, that I've done my best to make sure is pure, that I've done my best, and that my great crew, Aaron Dykes and Rob Jacobson and Rob Dew and all the other people in this office and all the other camera people that have done such a great job, and Jason Douglas and everyone else, and Michael McWhorter and Glenn Dill and Derek Einkauf and Will and everybody else in this office that made this film possible, and to see it and to know that if I'm allowed by the good Lord above to just live a little bit longer, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of imprisonment. I'm not. I'm committed. And I know I'll probably find my true strength when I go through more tribulations. But my flesh doesn't want it. But at the same time, I just ask God for more time to make even better films and more informative films. And it is so fulfilling to be on this path and to see my team working together and our great IT guys and everybody here in the office, the people that answer the phones, the people that pack the videos, the people that ship them out to you, everybody here, my wife and family that puts up with me working long hours. And when I finally take a break, I'm stumbling around like a zombie at my house. I can only think now and basically operate when I'm fighting the New World Order. I'm officially completely past burnout. I'm now completely a creature of resistance, completely a tool, completely filled with resistance. Resistance is victory! I now am completely a slave, but a slave of life, a slave of goodness. I am now completely turning myself over to this. I turned myself over a long time ago, but I recognize I'm completely turned over to it. And I'm seeing the rewards of a great passion, a love affair with humanity, a love affair with decency, a love affair with strength, a love affair with everything innocent and everything wholesome. A love affair. The only answer is to give my life for it. There is not even a question. Once you've seen what I've seen, there's no doubt these people must be resisted. The hell they carry out against the innocent, the pain, the suffering, the widows, the orphans, they cry out for us, they're champions, to rise and stand and defend them. But so much of what I do is just blasting the enemy in any direction I can fire at. But these films, these are special salvos and are true satisfaction. I look at it and it is good. And that is so satisfying, and I know it's satisfying to the Creator. This is your chance, ladies and gentlemen. Your chance to be part of history on the side of goodness. To stand up for freedom. To stand up for humanity. And the enemy is showing itself now. It has come out in the open. It is making its move to dominate us and to break our will. And it's a trick of the mind. If you will just realize that you've been mesmerized, that you've been made to feel weak, you've been made to feel pathetic, and that you really are an incredible creature alive on a gorgeous planet in the middle of the heavens, and that you have such a special, important destiny, that all of us are made in the image of the Creator, that we're all given different gifts, and that we are a special species, and that we do have so many wonderful things in store for us, and so many wonderful things that are happening now. If you will realize that, you will be free from the New World Order's control, even as we live in their prison, in the world, but not of it, in their system. They are the gods of this world. And their darkness is weakness. That's why they try to pull down strength and beauty and decency. That's why they love to burn and destroy cities. That's why they love to disease and poison you, because they see what you are burning like lights of liberty, burning with the fire of God, and they hate your guts. And it is so satisfying and fulfilling and wholesome and goodly to sit here with the DVDs in my hand. Fall of the Republic, the presidency of Barack H. Obama, and know that this is a testament of who the true enemy is and what we face, and that this will be seen by tens of millions of people in the next month alone because of you and because of the actions you are taking and because of the victories and your courage. I love you. I commend you. I salute you. So many little old women that I've known who've been the vanguard of freedom, and little old men for decades warning people about the Federal Reserve and giving people newsletters and giving people videos and going to City Hall and going to the State House and going to the county commissioners and going to the Capitol and calling into talk radio and lovingly warning their families and being laughed at. You did all of that back when they didn't admit the New World Order, but back when you knew and you'd done the research, you went against all that adversity and all that ridicule. And now, because of you, so many people are listening, and we have a chance not at stopping this world government from coming into place. It's already there. It's just going to now build and expand and get worse. But we are saving minds, intellects, souls. We are showing people the truth. We are freeing minds. Every mind we free is greater than all the rubies and diamonds and emeralds and gold. It's more important than all the palaces. It's more wealth than everything in this dimension we inhabit. It is a sentient being that you are freeing from the bondage of the New World Order with God's help. That is so special and so powerful and so huge, what you are part of and what you have done. All of you, black people, Hispanics, whites, old, young, all of you that in your heart love liberty and freedom, we are all brothers and sisters. We are all together. We are all right now on this radio show in fellowship together. None of us are perfect. When you are a good person, you have a conscience. And when you open up to the universe and open up to reality, you will then, of course, feel guilt. Guilt for the evil in the world. Guilt that you haven't done more. But that guilt is there to drive you to stand up and to stand strong and to stand against the cancer of wickedness and tyranny and disease and death and darkness that is all around us. You are a light in the world. And so the enemy creates their counterfeit. There are 1,000 points of light. There are 1,000 black suns. There are 1,000 hellions of lies who pose and masquerade as good when they are evil. But you can test in your intellect, test in your discernment what is good, what is bad. You can test on who has told the truth over the years, who has developed the fruit of awakening and goodness, who has delivered against the tyranny, who has had the victories against the corruption, who has been protected by the Creator. And that is all of us that stand on this battlefield today against tyranny. That is all of us who stand against this new world order. We are all together forever in history. We stood on the side of right. Justice be done. May the heavens fall. Duty is ours. Consequence belongs to God. Fall of the Republic. T-minus 27 and a half hours. 27 and a half hours till the release of Fall of the Republic. Go to InfoWars.com, order the DVD. We'll be shipping the weapon systems to you today. Make thousands of copies apiece and watch the new world. Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Color me your color, baby. Color. I'm just seething with life. I'm truly living my destiny to stand up against tyranny, to stand up for honor and decency. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I'm doing what a warrior does, what a champion does. I am putting myself in front of the bully, in front of the parasite, and I'm saying, you may crush me, but you're going to get a fight. You understand that? Now, you want to fight? Here's my shield. Here's my sword. Let's go. Let's get it on right now. You want to try to regulate my life? You want to try to make me your slave? You want to poison my water supply? You want to make me your slave? You want to bring in your world government? You want to bring my wife and children into bondage? You got Alex Jones to go through. And all the women and men out there standing up for their families and standing up for all the other innocents. The establishment divides us. They divide us to conquer us. They've got the third world clamoring for the global carbon tax because the same banks that bankrupted them and enslaved them are now telling them they're going to give them some of the carbon tax money. They divide black against white, white against Hispanic. They divide us on all these fronts. They divide us at liberal and conservative. They divide us on all these issues because they are scared of us getting together against their tyranny. But the people are now awakening to who and what the New World Order is and what it is up to. Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv, simulcasting the radio show right now. Here are the DVDs in the shrink wrap, shipping out to people right now. Everybody that ordered early, it's shipping out to you right now. And we're shipping these out as fast as we can. And I want to salute the great crew I've got back there. Here they are, ladies and gentlemen. Fall of the Republic. And I'll just say this again, the satisfaction in a job well done, in being up here till 1, 2, 3 in the morning so many nights, to flying all over the country and my crew flying all over the country and the airport lines and the TSA and the going through all the video and doing the research and doing the voiceovers and all of it comes together with this. This is a weapon. This is an information warfare salvo. This is a devastator weapon in the fight for liberty. This is a viral transmission mechanism, a virus against the cancer of the New World Order. They have actual viral treatments that do work, but that's one of the cures they've got in Germany. They don't give people here in the U.S. They got viruses tailored to the tumor that go in and eat it. And that's basically what this is. Why is it viral transmission? Because you get the DVD and you put it in your DVD burner and you make copies of this and you give it to other people and tell them to make copies. Mainstream news admits my last film, The Obama Deception, the most powerful we ever released, the most viral we ever released, has devastated them. Right-wingers watch it thinking that they're about to see Obama bashed and find out it comes in and attacks Bush and Obama, and we literally unlock their minds. Because as long as they're kept in the left-right paradigm, like a football game, back and forth, they can never be effective or stand up or wake up. But once they understand it's all staged, then their minds are open to the bigger picture. This film, America's Last Stand, Fall of the Republic, documents how an offshore corporate cartel is bankrupting the U.S. economy by design. Leaders are now declaring that world government has arrived and the dollar will be replaced with a new global currency. President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the United Nations Security Council, thus becoming the first U.S. president to chair the world body. A scientific dictatorship is in its final stages of completion, and laws protecting basic human rights are being abolished worldwide. An iron curtain of high-tech tyranny is now descending on the planet. Over the planet. A worldwide regime controlled by an unelected corporate elite is implementing a planetary carbon tax system that will dominate all human activity and establish a system of neo-feudal slavery. The image makers have carefully packaged Obama as the world's savior. He is the Trojan horse manufactured to pacify the public just long enough for the globalists to complete their master plan. This film reveals the architecture of the New World Order and what the power elite have in store for humanity. More importantly, it communicates how we, the people, can take control of our government, turn the criminal tide, and bring the tyrants to justice. Make the choice, liberty or tyranny. This is America's last stand. The extras are Oath Keepers and Charlie Sheen's message to the president. It's an InfoWars.com film, presents an Alex Jones film, Fall of the Republic, The Presidency of Barack H. Obama, edited by Rob Jacobson, Aaron Dykes, Will Jones, Derek Einkoff, Michael McWhorter, Glenn Dill, and of course produced by yours truly. Here it is, the DVDs at InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. On my long march against tyranny with you, I want to say it again. The reason we're setting the agenda, the reason we're setting many of the news cycles, the reason that's now being recognized by mainstream media is because we, the people, standing together, are an unstoppable force. So start your engines, get ready. It premieres in super high quality at 3 p.m. tomorrow at prisonplanet.tv. There's a DivX version that's the clearest DivX we ever did. It's as good as the medium quality we have for members. It's almost DVD quality, very crisp. You can burn it to regular CDs for 20-something cents a piece or less if you buy more from your local DVD CD shop, computer shop or whatever, wherever you get them. And you can buy DVD burners or your computer can burn copies, and you can make hundreds of these inexpensively. Millions of copies. Only a few thousand of Obama Deception went out. But millions of copies were made from Obama Deception. Over 20 million free views online. I'm holding this info weapon. Everybody I know that sees this film says it's my greatest work ever. It's our work here in this office. It's all of the work you did. All of you supporting us made this possible. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray to the Heavenly Father that this be a powerful salvo against tyranny. We know who the God of goodness is, whether it's Yahweh, Jesus, Jehovah. It's the same God, the God of the Israelites. You know, the God of Joseph, the God of Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who loves God and liberty and truth needs to get this video. And even if you're a foolish atheist, this film is the truth about who the globalists are, what their master plan is, and where this world is going. And it is essential that we all get this film out to everyone. But I just ask everyone, pray for the release of this film. I ask that God guide this film to people that need to see it. I ask that it be a catalyst for a massive awakening, a renaissance, a tidal shift against tyranny. It is fall of the Republic. Fall of the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. It is so important that this get out to everyone. Now, until the end of the next hour, so for about an hour and 15 minutes, part two of the interview with Pastor Lindsey Williams with huge breaking news today. Then we got G. Edward Griffin on the latest 9/11 developments coming up and a ton of other news. NASA scientists arrested spying for Israel. New dollar news. Huge stacks of important news. Schwarzenegger engaged in all forms of tyranny. Obama's approval rating still plunging. Just incredible important stuff. So much is happening. This is the beginning of the quickening. This is the new world order. But this is our time to be tested. This is all being done so we can be tested. The delusional globalists don't understand that. Now I'm going to shut up about Fall of the Republic. I'm going to do a three-minute report with Ted Anderson, then we're going to Lindsey Williams right now. I really appreciate breaking all this on the show. I'm going to try to sit back, shut up, while he goes through the four pages of notes he's got from this meeting with an insider that's been proven to be very accurate in the past. The inside knowledge also mirrors my inside connections and intel and government white papers and corporate white papers I'm tracking. So this is one perspective from one high-level top globalist, though. So there's different interpretations. You got to be – so later in the hour, the next hour, we'll try to break that down. But before we go to Lindsey Williams, waiting in the wings right now, I want to go to Ted Anderson for one update today because gold shot up above $1,066, an all-time total high. And to be able to make these films, to be able to do this radio show, to be able to fund myself, we have sponsors. So, you know, I talk about this being something totally pure, something I can really be proud of 100%. Whereas the radio show, I'm ranting, I'm raving, it's not polished, it's not completely focused, but it's effective. It's the same thing with our sponsors. If I've got to have sponsors, I might as well go find sponsors I believe in. I get a great Ecola Blue water filter I believe in. Works great for me. I call them and say, you want to be sponsors? They go, absolutely. We're already listeners. Ted Anderson starts this network. When another little network I was on went under, I went with him 12 years ago. Never censored me. Only supported me. He's a moral sweetheart. Also happens to have the best prices on gold and silver I found. You're getting the deals I get. So I bring him on. This is also, but let me tell you, when he does these loss leader deals, I know the markup. He buys this gold and silver when it's low. And then when it goes up, he sells it at the lower price. That's how he's becoming such a force in metals. He's been doing it 30 years, but 13 years almost, 12 and a half with Midas Resources. Like I've seen him with a $234 coin, $4 markup. Because I get the actual sheets on what these costing. Nobody else is selling coins with a $4. He's selling a $200-something coin and making $4. And that's just one example. Sometimes it's $5, sometimes it's $10. If it's like a $1,000, you know, full ounce coin, might be making $10. He does that through bulk. But when he does deals where he bought gold at $1,000 and he's selling it to you while he still has it, when it's $1,066 from when the market was marked in at $1,000, or when he's still selling silver he bought at $12 an ounce, when it's $18 an ounce, or almost 18, 17 something, that's an insane deal. Ted, I got to go to Lindsey Williams. I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate Lindsey holding. But briefly, tell folks the coins you've got, the offer, and the number they call.
Well, right now, the coins that I'm working with right now are the British sovereigns. They're at 293. Francs are at 238. Same price I did yesterday, but gold went up higher today. You're right about that. The Asian markets drove gold up to 1,000, just under 1,067. When the New York market opened up, it dropped it down to about 1,051.
But the bottom looks like it's 1,050.
Yeah, it just hits that level. I'm just hoping I can get a chance to buy gold again at 1,005, but I don't think I'm going to get it. The dollar dropping again. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on in the marketplace. Anybody would be a fool to think that this fiat currency is going to hold together. So I really do. If you're interested at all in gold and silver, the Walking Liberty is at 869, francs at 238, British sovereigns at 293. They're a good buy. And Alex, I just have to say, if you get small pieces of gold and silver in your hand and everything falls apart like I think it's going to, you're going to be darn happy you have it. Darn happy.
Absolutely. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. I bought some silver last week, a little bag, Ted. How long can you hold the silver deal?
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure we're going to be looking at $20 silver here pretty soon, just because silver keeps on punching up to that $18 level and then backs down to about $17.39. You know, I would have to assume that sometime before the end of October that we're going to see $18, $19 silver, and Walking Liberties are not going to be at $8.69. That's
and you've sure. got francs in gold. You've got a lot of other coins, but these are the special deal. You've got sovereigns, 800-686-2237. How long till you run out of those?
Well, you know, I'm just kind of keeping my finger on the pulse here. As long as I can continue to get these little dips that I'm getting down to that 1,050, 155 level, I'm going to hold it at this price. But if it jumps over 1,060 and holds, you know, prices are going to rise. That's just the way it's going to be.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, or MidasResources.com. Tell them Alex Jones sent you, or you're going to be paying the higher price, which is still a great deal. Ted, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
You bet. Okay. Now, for the next hour and 15 minutes, we've got Lindsey Williams on with us. Then we've got G. Edward Griffin for about 45 minutes. The news blitz and phone calls, David Ray Griffin. I always call him G. Edward Griffin. It's that again, making a film, I can craft it and make sure they're not mistakes. That's constantly. That's what's so satisfying about something I can really be proud of. I just can't explain to you how proud of this film I am. I want to go to Lindsey Williams. Speaking of G. Edward Griffin, he's in this film, Fall of the Republic. Lindsey, in this short segment we've got, we're going to come back. I'm going to sit back, give you the floor to go through all your points, recap who you are briefly, then this latest info, and then we got through about half the info yesterday, this breaking, first time ever information here from this inside source you've got. I believe you have this inside source. It's been proven to be very accurate in the past. I respect your 30 years of fighting the globalist. So I want to just say I believe what you're covering here today. I believe that's his view and his perspective. We'll analyze what he's really saying later. But Lindsey Williams, great to have you here with us.
Alex, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on your show this morning to back up everything you are saying. Folks, out there, Alex, listening audience, everything I just heard Alex say here a few moments ago is the truth. Now, Alex said, give me a brief background, okay? I will, and make it very brief because there's so much else to be said. For 3 years' time, I was the chaplain to the elite of the world. How did it happen? I was a missionary in the state of Alaska. That was when they began building the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I heard that 35,000 of the roughest, toughest, cussingest, drinkingest, horniest folks on the face of the earth were going to be there to build that pipeline. I went to Alaska Pipeline Service Company. I said, do you need a chaplain on the pipeline? They laughed at me. They said, we never had a chaplain on a pipeline before in our life. Finally, they allowed me. I guess I kept going back and back enough. Persistence paid off. They gave me the Prudhoe Bay area all the way down to Galbraith Lake, 7 work camps. About 6 months later, the personnel relations man with Alyeska came to me and said, Chaplain, you're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. We'd like to give you executive status. Alex, I had not the slightest idea, but this was by the providence of God. Folks, please listen to this. I can put it no other way. I'm just an ordinary, everyday person like you. I was nothing but an aviation missionary flying around out in the bush of Alaska. But by the providence of God, God put me into the board meetings with the elite of the world that very few people ever get to know personally, one-on-one. And for 3 years' time, I sat across the dinner table from them. I lived in the dorms with them. I was able to pick their brains and to analyze their mindset, and to write 3 books later about how these people think and do. And as a result, for the past 35 years, I have been in touch with some of these people. And I still have the phone numbers, personally, that I can call them. and they will not allow me to give out their names. One of them is over 85 years of age, and just recently, in fact, days ago, only a few days ago, I talked with him on the telephone, and he gave me all of this information. Alex, I honestly believe that by the providence of God, I was given this information so that I can back up everything that you and others like you are saying. Folks, it is true. The fall of the Republic. Oh, I'm so glad you've got this DVD out, Alex. I've got to have a copy of it. I want to talk to your producer afterwards. Get one immediately. The fall of the Republic's here. They made this plain to me on this radio show. On the talk that he and I had, not a radio show. But also, a moment ago, Alex, this man...
Well, Lindsay, stay there. We got a break. We're going to come back, get in to the notes you had from this meeting.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom prison, and time keeps dragging on.
We are back live. Okay, Lindsay, people are chomping at the bit to hear this info. They want to hear it all. I know you detail it more in the DVD. We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. But this is a short segment. Next one short, long one coming up. But I'm going to just sit back. He called you, thought he was close to dying, spilt his guts to you about the whole agenda. Start going through the bullet points. You got the floor.
The fall of the Republic, I'll tell you how long you've got, he told me. He made it very plain. I'm going to give you his exact statements. You want the punchlines? Here they are. I'll give them to you just as he told me. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is a man who knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. He's over 85 years of age. He almost died last winter. He confessed. Basically, all I can say is he told me everything that you can imagine. I have never had such information given to me before. He said, quote, within 2 years, you will not recognize America. Everything you're saying on this DVD of yours, Alex Jones, The Fall of the Republic, it is true. You have 2 years or less, and it's gone. Your children and your grandchildren, according to him, will be nothing but slaves to the elite for the rest of their lives. Folks, we are selling our children and grandchildren to the elite within 2 years or less. They think that they have it made. I'd like to prove them wrong, Alex, and I think you're going to prove them wrong also. The next statement. He said the elite have altered their timeline, and we'll go into this more later in the show as we go along, but you've got to understand that the elite are not divine. They're human beings. They think they're divine most of the time, but they have had to alter their timeline. They did it because you gave them $2.5 trillion, approximately, dollars in the last 2 to 3 months of the Bush administration, and they have had to change a few things around. Next great statement he made. After 2 years, and folks, this is startling. I'm quoting him verbatim. After 2 years, you will be so poor, you will not be able to rebel. Now, they have a timeline, a 2 year period. Folks, we must do something within this period of time, or we are slaves and we'll never be able to get out of it. This treaty that our president is signing here just in a matter of days. Please understand what Alex is saying about this. It is only a part of the elite's program to be able to bring about what he said to me. He said, after 2 years, you will be so poor that you will not be able to rebel against them. You won't be able to buy an airline ticket. You won't be able to go somewhere to a rally. You won't be able to have another Boston Tea Party. They have it planned as far as inflation is concerned. His next statement, inflation will escalate over a period of 2 years. Again, crude oil prices, they will fluctuate a little bit, but they're still going to stay down way below what they were when it was $147 a barrel. Oh, please, sell all the gold you can, Alex. I don't care how much of my time you take in order to sell gold. I beg of you, get all the gold and silver you can in your hands, because he said to me, he said, gold and silver are all you can rely on. He again said, this is their currency. It's what they depend on. They don't depend on a piece of paper. They laugh at that. Again, by 2012, the dollar will be dead. Now, I'm just giving you the best I can, the statements as I wrote them very fast as he was giving them to me. 2012 is a timeline for them. I know it's a part of the Mayan calendar also, which I don't pay much attention to. But whenever a person like this or the elite remember, 2 years ago, he said to me, the price of crude oil is going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. Everybody thought I was crazy. In fact, I don't think you even let me on your show at first with that, Alex. It was so startling and
unbelievable. No, we had you on as soon as we learned about it. We'll be right back, Lindsay.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Lindsay Williams, continuing, we're into hour number two. You were going through, yesterday we didn't get into the chronology of events he gave you. We had just gotten up to the point where he was talking about bringing in inflation over the next 2 years. I just want to add that I run into a lot of high-powered people in Austin over the years, and I've heard repeatedly from people who are extremely wealthy. And once I ran into a very well-known person who knew who I was and just told me, I'm leaving the country. This is 2 years ago. They said, in the next few years, America won't exist. And I said, what does that mean? They said, you'll see. And then I went and looked up. I vaguely knew who they were. I went and looked them up and didn't even know they were worth billions of dollars and all this other stuff. So the point is, there's a lot of intel backing up what Lindsay's saying. Lindsay, continue.
You're right, Alex. They have a two-year timeline. And, folks, I wish I could stress to this to you more. The first time I met the elite years ago, I was appalled that there could be people on the face of the earth who would intentionally manipulate governments, people, nations, currencies, and totally control it. And I need to elaborate again. There positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world, and they've got 2012. He said the dollar will be dead. Now, here's the next one that he said that I'm still shaking. I mean, I must admit, I'm appalled. He said war is planned after 2 years. Folks, they plan these things. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. And they're going to do it exactly as they said they were going to, because they know exactly. I mean, please believe me whenever I say that the elite know exactly what they're going to accomplish and how they're going to go about it. And they have war planned in 2012 or somewhere along in that area. And he even told me where it was going to start, how it was going to happen, what would happen. It would spread through the entire world. And every bit of this is okay, I'll elaborate more on point after point as Alex wants it. We must take action immediately. Get this DVD by Alex Jones. Please get out millions of copies of it. Do you realize that we've got 2 years? They have it planned. He gave me the figure, 2 years, over and over and over. You have 2 years or your children and grandchildren will be slaves. As Alex said a moment ago, he heard somebody who was one of the rich people that said, we're leaving America. He said, you won't know America in 2 years' time. This is exactly what this gentleman said to me. He said, within 2 years, you will not recognize the United States of America. Now, if I could put it in everyday terms so that even I could understand it, the elite are laughing at the gullible, stupid American who has fallen for every line that they've put out there for you. You've taken that baseball apple pie and beer, you've run with it, and you're satisfied to take their job just over broke and accept what they have given you, and you have not risen up and rebelled. You've got to do something, folks. Now, please, I beg of you. All right, here we go. Within 2 years, nearly everyone will be working for the federal government. Did you hear this? He said this. He said, almost everyone will be working for the federal government. Think about it for a moment. General Motors, they were about to go bankrupt. So who stepped in and bailed them out? The federal government. Who is the CEO of General Motors right now? The President of the United States of America. Who's the CEO of Chrysler? Everybody who works for General Motors or Chrysler is working for the federal government right now. How about the banks? They're taking over 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 almost every weekend. Do you realize that they want to narrow it down to 9? Come on, you got to hear the figure. Put it down, write it down, and watch it happen. They're going to narrow it down to 9 major banks. Then they'll be able to bail out, and they already have, bail out the ones that are left.
Stay right there. Vertical integration of the economy, criminal consolidation, the globalist IMF World Bank, G20 documents say as much as your source told you. We're going to continue to go through this, and then information we didn't get to yesterday, that's coming up. We're just recapping right now with Lindsey Williams.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lindsey Williams is our guest. Okay, Lindsey, continue. You were going through this former CEO of a major oil company, an insider who you've worked with. People say, well, why don't you give us his name? I deal with that with sources all the time. That's journalism 101, is that if you ever give up your sources, before a whistleblower gives you info, they go look and see if you've ever given up sources. So when I get a Department of Homeland Security internal document saying all veterans, gun owners, conservatives are their number one enemy, libertarians, I don't, when I first broke that and the MIAC report, people said, oh, it's not real. They called the phone numbers on it and they said, no, this is real. Where'd you get it? And for 2 days, people didn't believe it was real. The national news picked it up. We can't give you our sources. A lot of times we have sources on the air, whistleblowers, you name it, if they want to go public. But we'll talk about why Lindsey thinks this guy's talking to him, but keep running through it all, then we'll go back through it and get blow by blow through what he told you. Go ahead, Lindsey Williams.
Well, 2 years ago, Alex, when this gentleman called me, and you remember that he threatened me, and he said, Chaplain, you're saying some things that you can't say anymore. And he said, if you don't quit saying this and this and this, we are going to do this, this, and this. I had not talked to the man in 25 years. I think it's satisfactory to say that after he and I agreed to agree, and he said the price of, and then I said, by the way, how's your family? Where have you been living? You know, what are you doing? And he told me these things. He became friendly to me. And at that point, he said the price of crude oil is going from $147 to $50 a barrel. I think the mere fact of his credibility in saying that 3 months later, it took place exactly like he said. Even people in Wall Street said, you're crazy, it can't happen, it'll impact the world too much. But the mere fact of what this man said back then, you better believe what he's saying today, too. It's going to take place exactly like he said it. And when he said to me, war will take place after 2 years. Now, get his words well. War will take place after 2 years. It reminded me so much, Alex, of Major General Smedley Butler, who wrote the famous book. I mean, Eisenhower said that he said, I'm nothing compared to this Smedley Butler. He said he is a man amongst men. President Eisenhower said that about him. And Smedley Butler wrote in his book, he said, war is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expense of the very many. Out of war, a few people make huge fortunes. And that's the first thing that came to my mind was what Smedley Butler had said when this man said, war will break out in approximately 2 years. It will begin in the Middle East. It will spread to the entire world. People, we have a maximum of 2 years. And if Alex and the others out there like him have not turned this country around in 2 years, folks, if you have not risen up and rebelled against the tyrants within 2 years, and I'm quite sure you remember what was said by one of the great men of America in past years, he said, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. That was Thomas Jefferson, one of the writers and founders of this country. And if we haven't risen up successfully in 2 years' time, and turn this thing around, our republic is gone.
Let me just add something about Smedley Butler. Two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, took over all these different nations for the globalist, and then they came to him in the mid-30s and said, we want to have a coup, we're going to link up with Hitler, we want you to lead 500,000-man army to take over the U.S. He played along till he could go to the McCormick-Dickstein Committee and blow the whistle. That's mainline history, but it's not widely known and not widely taught, but it is mainline history. And Butler finally woke up, like a lot of people in the Pentagon, like Fox Fallon, who was a big globalist. When they finally told the brass a few years ago, we're going to overthrow America, a lot of generals quit and left and are refusing. So there are a lot of aces in the hole out there, like Smedley Butler still. A lot of people we think are our friends are going to turn out not being our friends. A lot of people we didn't think were our friends are going to end up being our friends. And I just wanted to add that about Smedley Butler. And the Rand Corporation documents and others have stated that they do plan to stage a new war to help build their new world order, because a war will unify the people around the governments to follow their orders. Go ahead, Lindsey Williams.
Well, you're exactly right. And they will unite everything together, using this as the final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Because after they have escalated inflation over a two-year period, after they basically have buried the dollar, because now OPEC's not going to use it anymore, they're going to use a basket.
And then if you protest, they're going to use the Enemy Sedition Act saying, we're at war, you can't protest the carbon tax and the citizen tattletales, and they'll stage terror attacks and say the foreigners are doing it. This is their plan.
Yes, that's exactly their plan. And everything that you have said, Alex, is true. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could open up the mind of every one of your audience out there and put into them what you are saying is true, folks. This is not just some alarmist out here. These are facts, and this gentleman just days ago backed up everything that you are saying, Alex. It's so amazing how that he basically said exactly what you said. But then I noticed on yesterday that something really kind of caught your ear. It was the expression that this man used, devil's messiah. And by the way, we've had a number of phone calls to come into our 800 service or our toll-free service, and they are fascinated with the idea that this man would use such an expression as devil's messiah.
Well, give us the data dump. Tell us specifically what he said. You've got the floor. Tell us.
Yeah, let me clarify just a little bit. He's not talking about a man. He's not talking about the Antichrist. No, I'm not one of those people at all. This isn't what this man was talking about. This man was talking about a system, a spirit of deception that they have used over a period of years, and he went back and gave some things that I was appalled that he would give. In fact, I'm even wondering where this man that gave me this information, if maybe he hasn't had some change of heart as far as his...
Well, specifically, word for word, tell us what he said.
Yeah, he said that the elite have taken away America's God. Now, here's what I did. I went back, and I have it right here in my hand right now, the first textbook. I mean, this is how far this man went back and started enumerating. The first textbook ever used by a school in the United States of America was the original McGuffey's Reader. And the McGuffey Reader was written, and the first schools in America that were ever held were established for the purpose of teaching people how to read, teaching them how to read so that they could read the Bible. And listen to just one section here out of the McGuffey Reader. And this is the first textbook, by the way, of the American school. I wish we had it back again today. It says, oh, my God, do not allow me to sin. Help me to do as I was told. This is on page 54 of the original McGuffey Reader. He says, let me do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Our God can see all we do. God has an ear to all we say. Let all I do be fit for his eye. And it goes on and on and on. He said we had to remove, listen to this, folks, we had to remove the God of America before they could ever conquer the republic. And then go back and look at Webster's Dictionary. I have a picture of this in my new DVD. Webster's Dictionary, the original Webster's Dictionary was written for the purpose of preserving the language of the scriptures so that the Bible would always have the same meaning, regardless of how much time might change the way the people use the words. And I have a reproduction of the original Webster's Dictionary, big, huge book, written for the purpose of maintaining the language of the Scriptures. They had to remove all of this. They had to take away America's God, the devil's Messiah. And actually, when he spoke of the devil's Messiah, he was talking about the system of what they have done in order to remove all righteousness, decency, and honesty from the government and from the political system of the United States of America. Then he went into the schools. Oh, my goodness, evolution. We talked about the subject of evolution. He said, basically, what they've done is they've caused human beings to think that the nation would evolutionize animals so that they will act like them. And that's exactly what they're acting like out there on the streets now. Then he went into the churches. Alex, I wish you could have heard this conversation between the two of us. He went into the churches. He went back and talked about 501c3. Now, I remember this well. I was a pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Hollywood, Florida, at the time of 1964, when the government came in and said, we would like for you to accept a 501c3 organizational status so that we can grant all of your parishioners who give money to your church a tax deduction for their money. They asked. They said, we'd like to ask you if you'd be willing to do this. Then, about 1966 and 67, they required it. I never took it. As a pastor, I said, this is a trap. There's no way in this world I'm going to accept this. This was a part of the plan of the elite. They had to remove God from the schools, from education. They entered evolution so that humans think they're evolutionized animals. Then they came over to the churches and deceived the pastors in 1964 and 65 with 501c3. By the way, folks, please, you've heard this expression, separation of church and state. I challenge you right now to go and read the Constitution of the United States of America, and you tell me anywhere in that document that the expression separation of church and state is used.
We'll continue with how you talked about how they're federalizing the churches, having them fill out dossiers on their members. Straight ahead, and then get into other areas in the notes you made that we haven't even covered yet. Lindsey Williams, stay with us. Just did a four-minute radio interview. We try to cover all the bases here. Lindsey Williams is our guest. I want to open up the phones for Lindsey at the end of this hour. Specifically quick questions for him, only for Lindsey. 1-800-259-9231. By the way, we've set Lindsey back up for Friday, haven't we? What time is he on Friday so I can plug that? 1 o'clock, so we can break more of this down central time. Okay, Lindsey, short segment, long segment coming up. I need to, so you said taking over the churches, because even if you don't believe in Christ or Christianity or even Buddha or Muhammad or any of that, they're attacking all of those, but especially Christianity, because if you don't owe allegiance to a God, you'll owe it to a state. Or if you don't owe allegiance to your family, you'll owe it to the state. They're wrecking anything that they don't control. But using the churches, as you said, with the clergy response teams, finish up with that. Let's get into the chronology and other things he said, because we didn't get to all of it yesterday.
Alex, I'm going to save until Friday the subject of money. Now, I haven't even touched on it. I didn't touch on it yesterday. I am dealing with another subject today, and I'm so glad you're going to take calls at the end of the program. Everybody in the listening audience, I'm warning you right now, please be here on Friday. I have not even told you anything about the money side of this whole situation, and the most sensitive part of anybody's anatomy is a real pocket. Now, on Friday, I will take the entire one-hour program that Alex is allowing me to be on with him, and I'm going to talk about nothing but what this man said to me about money. I am going to give you a chronological order. Now, please understand this, and if you have any trouble with this word, look it up. I know it's a big one. I'm going to give a schedule of events in chronological order over the next 2 years of what you can expect in relation to your money, your 501s, all of these retirement programs, everything else imaginable. We did get into this subject. And so now, I'm going to go back to this, but I just thought I needed to say that.
And by the way, I was wrong. You're on at noon Central. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're on the program today, please, you will want to be back here on
Friday. Okay, let's cover all the other areas, because a lot we haven't covered. Finish up with the church takeover, and then let's go to the other issues.
Find somewhere in your Constitution, anywhere you can. You read it from end to end. You need to read it anyway. See if you can find the word separation of church and state. Now, one of the first things I learned when I lived with the elite back at Prudhoe years ago and had an opportunity to sit across the dinner table from these people, sit in their board meetings, one of the things I learned was listen to their buzzwords. Nowhere in the Constitution of the United States of America will you find the expression separation between or separation of church and state. It is a buzzword. They've planted it in your mind. They've caused the pastors to think. You see, in the Constitution and in the writings of our founding fathers, the state was ordered not to get involved with the church. The state was told to quit meddling, never meddle with the church. But the church was allowed to meddle in the state all they wanted to. Pastors used to preach electoral sermons. They talked about candidates. You can't do that today. Your hands are bound. You are literally tied.
The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means no jurisdiction for government.
And how long are you pastors going to sit out there and be pansies? Now, please forgive me. I've been a pastor for 50 years or a minister of some type for 50 years' time. And I'm a graduate of a good Christian Bible college in college. Folks, please get off your duff. Pastors, you ought to be preaching electoral sermons. You ought to be talking about prostitution. You ought to be talking about what's happening to our republic. You ought to be out there learning and teaching courses on the Constitution in your church. If you don't, Homeland Security has you right where they want you. You are under their finger. And whenever you attend one of these Homeland Security meetings and they suggest to you that you should need to go and get all this information from your churches, don't you realize that they are going to use this to the destruction of your church members whenever they get ready to perform what they want to do in pulling the strings 2 years from now? Pastors, you are getting set up. You literally are being used as pawns. This man went into this separation of church and state. There is no such thing. In fact, the state ought to stay out of the church. You have no business having a 501c3. In fact, you should be meddling in the state and telling your congressman what to do. And
all right, stay there. Let's get into other areas.
Will law ever become a reality in America? Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. territory might trigger just that. And as KSLA News 12 Jeff Farrell discovered, the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
From my cold, dead hands.
Charlton Heston's famous declaration captures a truly American value, the overarching desire to protect our freedoms. But gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do even now thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act. That forbid U.S. troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
in a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
Civil rights advocates believe the amount of public cooperation may depend largely on how long they expect a suspension of their rights might last. Jeff Farrell, KSLA News 12 reporting.
And according to Tuberville, during Hurricane Katrina, the clergy response team provided 38 chaplains a day around the clock at 8 different camps.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever.
Grave digger.
Grave digger. When you dig my grave, would you make a shout?
We're going to be taking your phone calls for Lindsay. He'll be back with us on Friday to go through the rest of the timeline. We're going to some other areas he hasn't covered yet, but I wanted to play that clergy response team clip backing up what Lindsay was talking about. Before we go any further, I want to tell you about a few of our sponsors. One of them has a link up on Infowars.com. Write this name down. And, you know, I don't claim to be a medical doctor or know anything about it, but I've had medical doctors on that have pointed out there's one thing out there that's natural. It's antiviral and antibacterial, and that's colloidal silver. And the silver lung system we have here is an inhaler, and it's a great sponsor. You should find out more at silverlungs.com, SilverLungs.com, silverlungs.com. I want to tell you about silverlungs.com. The Silver Lungs generator is a highly cost-effective colloidal silver generator and lung delivery system that produces pure, endless colloidal silver and delivers the solution directly to the bloodstream. Find out more at silverlungs.com and check out the audio archive they have on their site answering the most frequently asked questions, silverlungs.com, ladies and gentlemen. And one other sponsor I wanted to tell you about, not just silverlungs.com, is EcuadorCentral.com. That's EcuadorCentral.com. Ecuador is spelled E-C-U-A-D-O-R. Ecuador is in the South American country. EcuadorCentral.com. It's your duty to know every option you have to protect you and your family. Whether you're looking for a rental property, a new start, or you just want to know your options, I urge you to go to EcuadorCentral.com. The website is great. It will give you all the information you would want to know before you go. Go to EcuadorCentral.com and see what these folks are doing. Whether you're interested in real estate investment, travel, or just want to see pictures and videos, go to EcuadorCentral.com. That's EcuadorCentral.com. And again, we are 26 hours and 22 minutes away. At 3 o'clock Central tomorrow, we're going to launch Fall of the Republic at prisonplanet.tv. You can download it, burn it to disk, DivX, give it to everybody, super high quality. You can pre-order the DVD to have it in the highest quality. Fall of the Republic, detailing who these people are, how to stop them, what their overall game plan is, how they've mesmerized the public. Infowars.com to order, prisonplanet.tv to watch it online. And you can also call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or write to me, Alex Jones, at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. Okay, Lindsay, I want to go to David, Eric, Jim, Matt, and Jim, at least those five calls, those first five on the board, and have quick questions for him you can answer. And on Friday, we'll finish up with the timeline and what he said would happen with money. And but there's other areas of this to cover briefly, some of the areas we haven't gotten into yet, some of the other notes from your discussion with this insider on things he said, other areas we haven't covered, Lindsay.
Before the election, I was told that McCain is our man. Well, they didn't get him. You see, the elite are not divine. This new president we've got now, he made the statement the other day. Obama said, America is a Muslim nation. I beg your pardon, Mr. Obama. America is not a Muslim nation. And George Whitefield, the great reformer back in the early days of America, had a great influence on Benjamin Franklin. And I won't take time to read Benjamin Franklin's statement. It's about a paragraph long here, but I know we're getting along with time. This is one area I haven't covered. And what we've got to have, and there's only one way to turn all this around, we've got to have divine intervention. But it must be turned around, or we're going to lose the republic, just as Alex is talking about. So this is one of the areas we haven't covered yet. Then I don't know where to go from there. I know we've got a lot of phone calls here, Alex, so maybe you want to take them.
Well, we're going to go over that timeline in detail on Friday, but go over some of that timeline of what he said was going to happen. Let's do that now, Lindsay.
Okay, let's see if I can find some timeline notes here right quick. I gave them all the other day in our DVD.
Well, we're gonna, and by the way, we're going to give that number out in a moment, but people should get ready. But, I mean, let's cover some of that now. People need to know this now, and then we'll flesh it all out Friday. But I just know you okay. Should get page after page of notes. I want more of what he told you.
Yeah, when you see more and more people working for the federal government, the more you see working for the federal government, the more they put on their payroll through everything like General Motors, Chrysler, the banks, the health care system, all the rest, the closer you know you're getting to it. The stock market will continue to go up and up and up and up. And whenever it gets to a peak, you will probably, I don't know what the peak will be. He didn't give me a number. But whenever you see this get so high that it's getting utterly ridiculous, watch out. Because at that point, we'll probably be at the end of this two-year period, and you're going to see a major crash.
Perfect sense. In the midst of Main Street dying, and in the midst of everything falling apart and the government federalizing everything with fiat currency it prints up and all these select corporations operating with contracts, if you don't have the contract or you can't get the carbon tax allotment, you're shut down. They admit that's what they're doing in their own documents. They will run the stock market up as that image of everything being okay when really it's only jacked up because it's reflecting devalued dollars. Just like gold isn't really up in price, it's that the dollar is dropping in value.
Yes, that's right. Gold, a few moments ago, we were talking about the price of gold today, $50 or $60. No, gold has not increased at all. The dollar has only decreased. But gold still buys the same thing it would buy 30, 40 years ago. 1 ounce of gold will still buy that brand new suit. But that much of American paper won't buy you anything. Let's see. You are going to see our currency continue to go down in value. And when you see this dropping very rapidly, watch out. You're getting pretty close to this time. Reserve currency status. America is losing it very rapidly, and you will see it lose it even faster. Oh, I said something on yesterday. I need to elaborate on it again very briefly right here. Alex, one of the last people that they're going to touch is you. Now, I know everybody thinks, well, I've got a personality complex here. They're going to get us next. No, they aren't. I've been let know that the media will not, the mass media, the secular media, they know if they touch you that likewise they lose their freedom also. And one thing that they must have the media out there to be able to convince you. The media is their method of getting you all the information that they want you to
Lindsay,
have.
It's already confirmed that tens of billions are spent in sitcoms and dramas and news being paid by the federal government to put anti-gun, anti-family, pro-euthanasia, pro-carbon tax messages. That's all admitted now. That's publicly declassified. So exactly. They think they've got total domination. If they shut me down, it highlights everything I've said. Instead, they just ignore it.
That's correct, and this is what I was led to believe, that they're not going to bother you talk show hosts. They're not going to stop me from saying, this man let me know this material. I'm amazed that he dared to do it, and the media is their method of getting their word out. They know if they touch them, the media in Washington, all over the country, secular media, that they cannot stop you without stopping them also. So, praise the Lord, one of the final things that you'll have is a shutdown. Oh, if they ever start to shut down Alex Jones and others like him, you watch out. You've had it. I mean, that definitely is the end. That's the last thing they'll do.
Did he say they are planning that? Hold on. Did they say they are planning that later, though?
Oh, positively. Oh, whenever you've got the next war. In fact, whenever they create this crisis that's supposed to take place after 2 years, and he made it plain, they have war is planned. War is in the order. He even said where it's going to begin, in the Middle East and spread through the world. Whenever that happens, it's over. I mean, you may as well chalk it up at that point. If the American people and the public have not risen up and had bigger than tea party, listen, I don't know how to say it. This King George, he merely put a tax on tea, and the American people rose up and had the Boston Tea Party, and they gave you gave them $2.5 trillion in the last 2 months of the Bush administration, and you didn't even rise up in arms and do anything about it. Folks, I get alarmed whenever I talk about things like this, and you just sit there with your J-O-B job just over broke. You sit there and let them do this to you. You listen to Alex Jones day after day, and you're not taking up action against these people.
Well, I think our listeners are. I just think it's the general public. I mean, I made the point. I went Saturday night with my children. We went over to Michael's, the art store, to buy some more paints and pen and ink, and because we the kids paint almost every day. And then I went to Michael's, and I walked over afterwards. My wife was home, but I took the kids out myself. And I went and got them food and sat down at Jason's Deli. And every person, including people behind the counter, were wearing UT football jerseys, which is fine. But they've had their tribalism. They've had their rah-rah. You got that rah-rah instinct to defend your freedom. But they take it and misappropriate. If I could get people to wear shirts with the Bill of Rights on it, if I could get it to be as exciting to stand up against tyranny, that's your whole future. That's your job. That's your children. That's a government trying to make you take shots. I like football as much as the next person. But how can I morally just sit around 3-4 nights a week watching sports while my whole country and the whole world falls to the hands of the New World Order? Let's take some calls, and we'll go through the entire chronology and finish other areas we haven't hit on Friday with Lindsey Williams at high noon, second hour here on the show. But before we go to David, Eric, Jim, Matt, and Jim, we're going to keep you to 5 minutes into the next hour. Then David Ray Griffin's joining us. Before we do that, Lindsey, because you haven't plugged this yet, and I want you to. I know as soon as you learned this last week, you ran in, hired a studio, did a 3-DVD set laying out this whole thing. And you talk about your other videos being dorky. Well, speak for yourself. Your presentation on what was going to happen with oil was seen tens of millions of times. And that's why you got death threatened over it by these people. And then that was a blessing. You learned all this other info. So I think people should call the toll-free number and get this new 3-DVD set you're just now putting out, just now available. Give people the toll-free number to get it.
The toll-free number is a new toll-free number, 888-799-6111. Now, we have 7 operators standing by right now. I called them this morning. We had marvelous response on yesterday. Folks, 6 DVDs. Yes, my 3 new ones. Nothing from the past. You're not getting anything you've ever gotten from me before. All of this is brand new. I'm giving you 3 DVDs as a gift. You purchased my 3 DVDs I made last week in studio, professionally done, numerous cameras, beautiful full-color cover on the outside of our program. I mean, you've never seen us do anything this professionally. The number is toll-free, new number, 888-799-6111. I beg of you, copy these DVDs. They are not copywritten. I plead with you, get millions of them out. Give it every place you can. Again, the toll-free number, 888-799-6111. Thank you.
And we'll give it out again right before you leave. All right, let's go to calls. David in Florida. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex, how you doing? And how you doing, Lindsey? I got a question for you about Obama. If the elite that you know aren't in control of him, and Alex has done the Obama deception and the fall of the Republic, who is in control of Obama? And I have one more question after you answer that.
Obama is totally out of control. And I was told by this individual just days ago that they've got problems with Obama. Now, I cannot say what he told me, and I'm sorry. You'll just have to forgive me. But there's one expression that he made that I can't use, but I'll tell you this. If I was Obama, I'd be shaking in my shoes right now because he is so proud, haughty, arrogant. He bucks them, and he will not get by with too much more before they take some action. And they are displeased with some of the things that Obama's doing, even though he's going along with some of their skullduggery. Yet, on the other hand, this man is in trouble because they wanted McCain, and now Obama is...
All right, let me just say this. Let me just say this. There's two major power blocks in the New World Order, and they're all intermarried and interwoven. He got four times the Wall Street money McCain did. I think that's the certification that they knew he was going to win because of where he was in the polls. He's bringing in the carbon tax, the division. He's bringing it all in. And, Lindsay, I'm not poo-pooing your info. It's turned out to be very accurate in the past. But there are different power blocks. This guy's almost 90 years old. He's talking to people. No doubt there are large parts of the power block that are angry at him. But I think all the evidence is Obama is establishment. They could do something to him as part of their false flag to bring in tyranny and race riots and division. So, remember in the past, he's changed what he said to you before. And it's very sophisticated what these guys say. But I'll get your take on that when we come back. But my point is, Obama is being used as the image to sell wider wars, tyranny, all this stuff. And so that's why Obama is the lure we use to get people to find out about the New World Order. They think they're getting an Obama film, and it is somewhat about him, but it's really about the whole power structure and who the banks are and how to stop them. That's what the films do. We'll be right back. Two more segments left with Lindsay Williams. Then we got another guest coming up. He'll be back with us Friday, 12 noon. Lindsay, you heard my points just now before the break. Obama got four times the Wall Street money of McCain. They said it, the media said he was like a god who was going to save us all. He's been given the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, I believe you were told these things. Your predictions that you were given were accurate in the past. It mirrors what we got from Inside Bilderberg. But Obama, McCain, they own both these guys. I mean, what are you saying? What are they saying?
John F. Kennedy. I touched this very cautiously. John F. Kennedy was quite a patriotic American. He did most everything that they wanted back in those days. But John F. Kennedy touched one sore spot, the Federal Reserve, and was going to tell the whole story when he got to Texas. And as a result, you know what happened to him. Now, Obama is touching a few spots that they don't like. Yes, I agree with you. He's doing almost everything that they want. Both of them were their man, so to speak.
Are they just racist, maybe deep down, and they want to crush him?
No, not necessarily. These people are not racist at all, quite to the contrary. I won't get into that subject right now, but no, they're not racist at all. It's just that he's touching a few points that they don't necessarily like.
I mean, he told you this. So you're just reporting what he said. Let's take another call then. Let's talk to Eric in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Eric.
Hey, Lindsay. Hey, Alex.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Lindsay Williams, your website's really cool, man. I checked it out a few months ago. You got a lot of good info on there.
Well, thank you. You know, they made me close down my official website back 2 years ago. And they said, you either do that or we're going to take action against you. But, yes.
Eric, do you have any quick questions?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I was watching a Jordan Maxwell interview last week, and he was talking about how the Vatican runs the whole global government thing. Now, with all your meetings with the elites behind the scenes, have you ever heard this before? Do you agree with that?
No.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Hold on. I've not heard that subject at all. We did not go into that with the gentleman the other day. He touched on the Satan's Messiah, a devil's Messiah, he called it, but it didn't deal with that subject at all.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. The Vatican's called for New World Order. The Protestant leaders are pushing it. Pat Robertson's saying you can't stand against Obama. He's of the Lord. People get confused. All these major nations are controlled by the New World Order, and I would say the city of of you know, the Vatican is as well. So absolutely, but the establishment plays people off against each other with different pieces of the New World Order. This is an international financial elite that control the purse strings of the planet, and that's their main power structure. Lindsay?
Yes, the name of the game is control. It's not paper. It's gold and silver. And these people, some of them that I met when I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline could write a check for $1 million every day the rest of their life and never spend all their money. The name of the game is control. Control of masses of people, manipulation of nations, currencies.
Because if you have control, you can just make yourself $100 trillion and have the slaves pay for it if you want.
Sure, and you paid for it. You gave them $2.5 trillion in the last 2 months of the Bush administration. They love you. They're laughing at you. I mean, this actually was brought out in this conversation. The elite are laughing at you, stupid Americans. I mean, it's time for you to sit up and take notice. These people think that you're totally dumb. You aren't. You've got plenty of sense. Now get up and do something about it.
We have to get past all the media hype and the sports and the entertainment and the celebrities and get down to real issues. An international private banking cartel is engaged in a Ponzi scheme overthrow of the U.S. The Ponzi scheme is meant to destroy the United States.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
David Ray Griffin's coming up for the rest of the hour, then open phones and a huge news blitz in the fourth hour today. We are only 26 hours away from the release of Fall of the Republic at PrisonPlanet.tv. Lindsay Williams, who I really appreciate, is our guest right now. Let's talk to, who's up next here, John? That's who I thought. Matt in Ohio, you're on the air with Lindsay Williams. Go ahead.
Hello. I had a quick question here. I just tuned in, so I apologize. I wasn't able to listen to
That's okay. Go ahead.
Part of the show here. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I had done some research about Ellen G. White, a writer from the 1800s. She also had visions that she made predictions based on. And the question that I have is based on something that she wrote about. Obviously, she said there's going to be a second Great Depression, and we all know that that's pretty much on the way. But she also talked about a national Sunday law. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, here's the deal, and I appreciate your call. I'm a Christian, but this is a secular radio show that I have pastors on. And all this ever turns into is Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Baptist, Catholic stuff, and all of them asking who's right and whose vision's right and who's this and that. The bankers are announcing they're engineering a crisis to bring in a one-world government and destroy the dollar. They're deploying 379,000 regular army troops incrementally on the streets of America. All this stuff's happening, and I can prove it. They're getting ready to put carbon taxes on flying, on TV sets, on beef. Total control. And I've probably been sent that Seventh-day Adventist book probably 200 times. I mean, they're all over the office. I've read it years ago, and it talks about a second depression. I mean, I'm not bashing anybody. I'm not bashing Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, any of it. I'm sure there's a lot of nice people in all those groups. It's just I don't gauge my decisions according to all that. And yes, they talk about there being a law, you've got to have church on Sunday and stuff like that. I mean, it's a totally separate subject than what we're talking about with the banks imploding. I don't see them making you have church on Sunday. I see the feds taking over the churches, and they can say whatever they want as long as they worship the government. Though they are banning rabbis having meetings at their houses and Christians having prayer meetings at their houses. So maybe that is going to happen. I don't know. Lindsay Williams, we got sidetracked. We got 2 minutes left, but your comments on that.
Yes, I really don't have any comments on that because that is not what this gentleman and I talked about. We talked about the secular part of it, and I've given you that. And on Friday, I will talk about everything he had to say about money, what's going to happen, the timeline, a chronological breakdown, and so on. We stayed with that because that's his expertise.
But what do you think of the fact that the establishment uses divide and conquer? And so there's just all these hundreds of groups. Each group has all the answers, they're told. And then everybody just debates and No matter how many guests I have on about the Vatican being corrupt and being a big part of the New World Order, I always get emails and calls going, you never talk about the Vatican. Well, you know, do you work for them? When I'm a Protestant and my family, the Ayers family and others helped found Texas in a Protestant revolution. And then I know that it came out that Israel put out a propaganda hit on me, knowing they can play people off against each other with this fable that I work for the Vatican or something. It's just pointless. They're trying to forcibly inoculate people. World government's coming down on us. All the big governments, all the big religions are New World Order controlled now. That doesn't mean you're New World Order controlled. You can stand up against the global government and the big government they use to force all of this on us. Pastor Williams, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We'll go over the last part of the timeline in the chronological order, high noon, Friday. I really appreciate you spending time with us. We got 30 seconds. Fire out that number for folks to get the new DVD.
7 hours of DVD viewing, professionally done before numerous cameras. You've never seen anything like it. The number, toll-free number, I beg of you, copy these DVDs. The toll-free number is 888-799-6111.
We're out of time. We're out of time. Lindsay, I'll see you Friday at noon, okay?
Thank
you. God bless you. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In just a moment, we're going to be talking to David Ray Griffin, best-selling author, 35 books on philosophy, religion, politics. He's had a lot of great books, but New Pearl Harbor Revisited was a Publisher's Week pick of the week. And we're going to get his response on all the new big 9/11 developments. And does he think that the establishment's going to have to stage some new terror to get control? Jandullah, it's admitted, over in Iran, is an al-Qaeda offshoot, formerly commanded by the number 3 in al-Qaeda. Bush admitted they were funding them to stage terror attacks inside Iran. They just blew up a military base headquarters, killed a bunch of top generals and people. Iran's swearing revenge, and the White House is continuing the operations of Bush. So we'll talk about government-sponsored terror with David Ray Griffin and all the attempted debunking that's been going on, the piece they had a month or so ago on one of the big TV channels, National Geographic. I've had Professor Stephen Jones on. I've had some of the other participants from the TV show on, like the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Richard Gage. He says they lied to him, swore it would be fair, swore they'd premiere and present their information, showed them a fake final cut that was nothing like what they actually saw. So we'll talk about that, too, with David Ray Griffin coming up here today. Just briefly, we are 25 hours and 50 minutes exactly, 25 hours and 50 minutes exactly on my mark. The atomic clock says 109, 57, 58, 59. On my mark right now, we are 25 hours, 50 minutes from the release of Fall of the Republic. We detail how Obama is controlled by the very same interests as Wall Street. We detail how he's being built up to be actually destroyed by these people, to be blamed for their entire agenda. We detail it all in Fall of the Republic. That's why I'm being demonized for the Obama deception right now by national media. Because this, when you watch this film, it's an indictment of the entire corrupt military-industrial complex. You can get the DVD right now at Infowars.com. They're now shipping out today. They're shipping them in mass right now. And it premieres at PrisonPlanet.tv at 3 p.m. Central tomorrow when the show ends. Two other sponsors I want to tell you about for the balance of the hour. David Ray Griffin is our guest. One of the sponsors I want to tell you about is Front Sight Firearms Training. It's family fun. The premier firearms training institute in the country. No drill instructor, no tough guy attitude. How to properly use a handgun, a rifle, a shotgun. They have 2-day courses, 4-day courses, 5-day courses. They also have a lot of free online stuff at frontsight.com, FrontSight.com. And they've got a deal where you get a 30-plus state concealed weapons permit, a free Springfield Armory XT pistol in the caliber of your choice when you sign up for the 5-day firearms training course that is extremely and expensive. Long before I even knew what Front Sight was, like 10 years ago, 8-9 years ago, everybody I knew, police, military, locals, all went there. This is above military and law enforcement level training. A lot of Marines and people go into theater, go there to get tuned up on their snipering. FrontSight.com, ladies and gentlemen, FrontSight.com. Check out the free deal or get on their free mailing list there at FrontSight.com. Okay, let's go ahead now and go to David Ray Griffin. He has a long bio, but he's kind of one of the omnibudsmen or the omnibudsmen of the 9/11 truth movement. He just devastates the disinformation that the debunkers keep putting out, the lies, the distortions, how they keep changing their story. And there's so much to talk about. We've got this former prime minister coming out and saying he got a warning 10 minutes before, Danish prime minister, you know, that the towers were going to fall. That ties into Giuliani. We've got the debunking going on. We've got so many things that are happening. But David Ray Griffin, first off, great to have you here. And what do you think is most important today that you would like to cover first?
Well, of course, I have my new book on World Trade Center 7. And in my mind, and in that of many other people who've read it, it provides the most convincing evidence yet that the official story about the World Trade Center is false, and not simply false, but that they've just told lie upon lie. And in my book, I deal with the question of scientific fraud, which is a technical term put out by the National Science Foundation and others that involves omission of data, falsification of data, and fabrication of data. And they do all of these, and they do them very blatantly and obviously.
So the NIST and report, all of it, is basically like Piltdown Man, really the jaw of a pig, not the missing link.
Yeah, I mean, they even contradict what they had put out in previous reports before they came up with their new theory. And so you can see they're lying. And for a lot of people whose eyes glaze over when you talk about steel temperatures and what fire can do to steel and what you need for a straight down symmetrical collapse, when they see that people are just lying, for many people that's the most convincing thing.
I want to go over that, but first let's get into some other issues, because this is key. The book is key. The consortium, the consolidation of the really vetted, hardcore data that you've put together in this book, and we, again, respect you as one of the foremost bona fide researchers, David Ray Griffin. You were, though, in the National Geographic hit piece. Give us your take on how that was shot, guarantees that were made. Do you agree with Jones, Professor Jones, and architect and engineer, others who are speaking out?
Richard Gage.
Richard Gage. And what do you think of them shooting a missile into a chicken coop and saying that's the Pentagon? I mean, it was almost like this was made to be a joke, but go ahead.
Well, yes, I agree with what Richard said, that they were very deceptive in the way they approached us. And, you know, we've done this enough. We know to be cautious and to take these things with a grain of salt. But still, the level of, you know, duplicity here was really extreme. And then, as you say, these experiments they performed, and part of the duplicity was that they scheduled this interview with us where we were watching what was supposedly the virtually final cut while they were filming us, and they didn't tell us ahead of time that the crux of their argument against us was going to be the scientific experiment, and they scheduled at a time that Stephen Jones could not be there. Now, in fairness to them, they did originally hope he was going to be there, but he suggested they bring in Kevin Ryan instead. And even though they first contacted Kevin and he was willing to come, they did not bring him. So we didn't have a single scientist sitting around there.
But let's be clear. Let's put this in layman's terms, though, okay, because I know you're being technical. They said, we want to show you basically the final cut. They get you in a room. You're there to see it. And they go, what do you think of this experiment? We're going to shoot a missile into a plywood box.
Yeah, and all three experiments, you know, for National Geographic, which really has earned a good reputation over the years with its quality magazine, they should be just horribly embarrassed by this, because what they presented as scientific experiments were just totally laughable. The other one that is even more outrageous was the thermite experiment. First of all, we had all stressed, Stephen Jones had particularly stressed, the difference between ordinary thermite, which is an incendiary, and nanothermite, which is a high explosive. And the argument has been that it was basically nanothermite with maybe some help from ordinary thermite and thermate, which has sulfur added, was used to bring the building down. Well, the guy said, well, you know, I couldn't get any nanothermite, an ordinary person can't get that, so we had to use what we had. So what he did is took a bag of ordinary thermite, put it up next to a steel column, didn't even make it into a shaped charge. Now, you know, if you take thermite and turn it into a shaped charge, it will cause some real damage to a piece of steel, but not just a sack of thermite that you set on fire. And then he said, there's proof that nanothermite could have not brought down the World Trade Center.
But well, David Ray Griffin, it's worse than that. I have seen Dr. Jones and others' thermite experiments with a cup of it on an engine block. Regular thermite burns right through. This stuff didn't even sparkle like sparklers. It really looks staged. And then they say on the show they couldn't even prove there's such a thing as explosive thermite, despite the fact there are scores of patents. NASA uses it on rocket decouplers. A bunch of NIST scientists are top explosive thermite experts. To just deny that there's even such a thing when it's at least 30 years old, I mean, I couldn't believe how ridiculous this show was.
Yeah, and here they were. They were coming up on the anniversary of 9/11, and I think they took the people who had become most visible, myself and Dylan Avery and Richard Gage and Stephen Jones, and the attempt was to discredit us with this, and what they ended up doing was simply discrediting themselves and discrediting National Geographic, because even ordinary citizens who have no understanding of scientific method and so on could see these were obviously ridiculous experiments.
And by the way, you're not just putting a good face on this. I was horrified by it, but then within days, everyone I talked to, even skeptics, said that was ridiculous. It really did blow up in their face.
Yeah, yeah. So it didn't do the 9/11 truth movement any harm. I would say, all in all, it did good, because it showed how desperate the defenders are that they would go to such ridiculous lengths to try to discredit us.
All right, we're going to come back, talk about your book and Building 7, the key data. Then we're going to get into not just the physical evidence, but all the people that got warnings to get out of the towers while the... Stay there. Coming up in 35 minutes when we start the final hour, I got a huge news blitz on the global carbon tax, on the unfolding police state, a huge stack of vital news, and your phone calls we're going to be covering. And I think I'm going to play some clips today from Fall of the Republic, ahead of it airing tomorrow. Some exclusive clips coming up. I also interviewed Jesse Ventura again when I was out in Los Angeles last week filming some final episodes of his upcoming TV show on True TV. And I've got an 11-minute interview I did with him on the set. And we're going to be posting that up on the website later today. All right, going back to David Ray Griffin. David, hell, I may just play some of that on air next hour. David, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. Obviously, why is 9/11 important? It was 8 years ago. Well, because this is a false flag event meant to launch this global empire and to take our liberties here at home. I mean, all the good old boys and conservatives that loved the war, I kept telling them this homeland security is for you. And they list leftists, political activists of all stripes, conservatives, libertarians, in these DHS reports, proving everything you and others talked about. So why is 9/11 important today? And then get into your Building 7 book.
Well, there are so many reasons it's important. One of those is that many people are now talking about Afghanistan being the new Vietnam. And just like Vietnam, Afghanistan, the war is based on a huge lie. Everybody admits now that Vietnam was based on lies, a couple lies, Tonkin Gulf being one. But people haven't recognized yet, in general, that the war in Afghanistan is also based on a lie. And Building 7 coming down in absolute free fall for over 2 seconds, that by itself gives the lie to the official story that Muslim terrorists brought down these 3 buildings by crashing planes into 2 of them. And, you know, this administration, as well as the previous one, and this one even more than the previous one, is justifying the war in Afghanistan on the basis of 9/11, saying over and over, we've got to stop those people, Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda, the ones who attacked us on 9/11. And that's the big lie that now Americans and millions of Afghans are being killed for.
Start getting into your book. Start getting into your book for us.
Okay. Well, the first part of the book deals with one kind of scientific fraud, that is the omission of evidence. And here we have the things that you've talked a lot about on your shows, the omission of the steel in the rubble that had obviously been melted and even sulfidized. To take the piece of steel in particular, there was a piece of steel identified in the appendix to the FEMA report that they said looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. It had holes in it. Here was an inch thick piece of cheese, piece of steel that holes had been burned into. Fire can, of course, not even come close to doing any such thing, and yet it happened. It was reported in the appendix to the FEMA report with the stipulation, this demands further study. When NIST took over the job, it said, we will deal with all the recommendations in the FEMA report. They did not. They simply ignored this one. They even lied and said no steel was recovered from Building 7.
I mean, just incredible lies. And again, even if you believe the official story, why have they changed their story so many times, different permutations of lies? And then now the bald-faced lie. And then we have all the firemen and police saying on video, live on CNN and everywhere else, get back. They're going to bring down 7. They're blowing it up. And then newscasts reporting it had already fallen exactly the way it did fall. I mean, I guess we've just got to come to grips with that it's an inside job and that people aren't, some of them, aren't ready to face that fear.
Yeah, these were further things they omitted. They omitted all the testimonies about explosions going off in the building. Both those explosions that were reported just as the building was about to come down, and those explosions reported by Barry Jennings and Michael Hess quite early in the morning. In fact, the longest section of my book deals with the testimony of Barry Jennings and Michael Hess and the treatment of it by NIST and by the BBC. That's quite a long story, which, as you know, ends up with Barry Jennings dying evidently 2 days before the NIST report is issued, which says there was no evidence of explosions in the building.
David Ray Griffin, when we come back, we'll tell folks the title of your new book, How to Get It. You'll continue going through all these lies. Long segment coming up, plenty of time for you to break all this down. David Ray Griffin is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. We are 25 hours and 27 minutes away from the launch of Fall of the Republic, premiering tomorrow at PrisonPlanet.tv. I'll definitely play some clips of the film tomorrow in the run-up to its premiere. I'm going to maybe play some next hour. It's just sometimes with our DVD playback system in here, it shudders a little bit and doesn't do it justice. I don't know if I want to premiere it that way. I may just put some sneak peeks up on PrisonPlanet.tv. We may play this never-before-seen Ventura interview where he talks about the new 9/11 revelations, talks about Obama's Peace Prize. In fact, I'll definitely do that next hour and your calls. David Ray Griffin's our guest. David, tell us about the name of your new book, how many 9/11 books you've written, and continue through the evidence of the fact that they blew those buildings to bits.
This is my, believe it or not, eighth 9/11 book, not counting the little book on Osama bin Laden. If you count it, that would make nine. But as I say, most people have told me this one is the most convincing because of the massive fraud and lies in the book. To deal with more of the omissions, another one of these, of course, is the evidence for explosives and thermitic materials in particular in the dust. And you know, but maybe not all your listeners know, this rather humorous story about a reporter who saw the discussion between Michael Newman of NIST, who handles public relations, and the Stephen Jones group, in which Jones and others had said, well, did you check the dust for thermite? And thermite is a generic term which includes both ordinary and nanothermite. And they said no. Well, this reporter said, well, why didn't you? And Newman says, well, there's no use, because there was no evidence of that. And she says, well, how do you know there was no evidence for it if you didn't look? And he said, look, it'd be a waste of time and the taxpayers' money to go looking for something that isn't there. And so this is a sample. You know, if people think NIST is this great organization with rigorous scientific method, all you have to do is read this book and you see that it's almost as laughable as that National Geographic program. And in fact, I quote a former scientist who worked at NIST. He worked there during part of the period they were working on the World Trade Center tower report. And he said, you know, NIST has become totally politicized. And so I begin the book with that discussion, that NIST has become a political, not a scientific, agency. And the rest of my book bears that out on every issue, whether you're talking about the origin of the fires, the temperatures the steel could have reached, or the nature of the collapse. And so besides ignoring all, well, the other evidence, of course, is, you know, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot on your show, is the new evidence of the nanothermite in the World Trade Center dust. And this is, I think, one of the two most convincing things to the ordinary person, because as Niels Harrod said when he was asked about this, you know, the interviewer on Danish TV said, well, just because you found all that nanothermite in the dust, what makes you think that was what was used to bring down the buildings? And he said, well, why else would have it been there? I mean, we're not talking about a few specks. We're talking about an enormous amount of nanothermite that was still unexploded. And so they say this is not the smoking gun. This is the loaded gun. The gun was still loaded. You put a torch to it, it explodes. And yet the defenders of the official story try to say, oh, this was just, you know, these are red chips. That was just primer paint. Well, put a match to some primer paint and see if it explodes.
And then you have all the film footage from mainline TV crews of this white, yellow metal just pouring out and dropping for hundreds and hundreds of feet when aluminum doesn't act in any way like that. And then you have them saying there was enough heat in Tower 1 and 2 to suddenly make the buildings explode top down. Meanwhile, columns giant columns right next to men and women waving their shirts. Humans aren't burning. They're not melting. But giant columns right next to them are, after the fire department had reported that in both towers, the fires were not as strong as they had been. And in one tower, almost completely dissipating, we have the firefighter tapes.
Yeah. You know, and there's just example after example. Let's talk about the Van Jones affair for a second. The premise there of why he was had to resign was that anybody who signed a document saying there should be a new investigation, therefore even just suggesting that maybe the official story wasn't true, that such a person is unworthy to be a public servant. Because there's something obviously wrong with his mind. Well, if people really know what the official story is, if they know how NIST's explanation, which is the official story about the towers, if they know their explanation, there has to be something wrong with their minds if they believe that. And the most obvious example of this, now to skip to the final chapter of my book, is their own admission that the building came down in free fall. Now, we had been saying virtual free fall. They admitted, after David Chandler proved it, that the building came down in absolute free fall. Now, this is, of course, free fall through the air, not through a vacuum, so there's a slight resistance from the air. But if you had dropped a brick off the top of the building at the same time the top floor of the building, the roof line, started coming down for the first 2.25 seconds. The brick and the top floor of the building would have gone along at the same rate. Now, when NIST put out its preliminary report, what it called its draft for public comment in August of 2008, Chaim Sunder, in a technical briefing, explained why absolute freefall would be impossible because, he said, there are things in the way. And freefall means that the stuff coming down is not encountering anything. It's encountering zero resistance. And he said, well, you know, there's all that steel, all that concrete, all that stuff there. So that would use up energy moving that out of the way. So it couldn't be in freefall. Well, then David Chandler got on YouTube, put a piece on there, and showed, slowed it down, measured it, and showed that it was absolute free fall for over 2 seconds.
And now NIST has had to change their story again and admit, okay, there was some free fall.
Yeah, but they didn't change their theory. They still have a theory of progressive collapse based on fire, and still deny, of course, that explosives were used. And, you know, we know, anybody who knows anything about these things knows that for this to come down with a horizontal roof line, virtually horizontal coming down, and in free fall, that means all 82 steel columns had to be removed simultaneously.
Well, David,
there's no way, even if this had been a towering inferno, that fire could have caused this. And so now what they have is an absolute contradiction in their final report. They've got a theory that says free fall is impossible, as Sunder himself had explained, and yet they admit as an empirical fact that free fall occurred. And one thing I pointed out in the book is very revealing. In the draft for public comment, they kept saying after every statement of this nature, and this is consistent with physical principles, and this is consistent with physical principles, sort of ad nauseum. In the final report, which came out in November, they removed all of those statements.
Okay, David.
So they were no longer claiming that their final report was consistent with the principles of physics.
Now, again, you're being very academic about this, and that's very important because that's who we want to really focus on this, is scientists, researchers, scholars. But to put it in layman terms for camp-following debunkers who really think that the official story is 100% true, I think it's important to note here that 6 of the 10 commission members – have made statements like fraud, cover-up, criminal cover-up. There should be a criminal investigation. The head lawyer, Farmers, got a book from the commission coming out saying total cover-up, a lie. We agreed day one to not tell the truth to the public. These are all statements. And not only have they lied the whole time, they're constantly changing the goalpost and constantly changing their stories and then making fun of us when we've never seen buildings do this in history, when you got firemen and police saying get back, they're going to blow it up, when you have the PNAC document saying we need to have a giant Pearl Harbor, 3,000 dead, level event, we've got lying about the WMDs, we've got Cheney wanting to blow up ships 3 years ago and blame it on the Iranians, that's now public, Fox Fallon, their admiral, resigning, we've got Gulf of Tonkin, all these other events. I mean, you'd have to be insane not to know that every arrow, every dotted line, everything aims at inside job. I mean, I wish it wasn't an inside job. I wish that I didn't have to go up against these people. I know you were doing other things and already acclaimed before you got involved in this worldwide as a best-selling author and researcher and lecturer and theologian. I mean, it's just conscience demands that they're saying the earth is flat. We have to say it's round. And I know that's a bit of a rant there, but what's your thoughts on the statement I just made?
Well, I agree. And let me go back to this point about the physical impossibility of this. You know, our most vicious criticisms have come from the left. People such as George Monbiot, people such as Alexander Coburn, and those two in particular have accused us of believing in magic. Well, what I just described to you about the official report on Building 7 is magic. For a building to come down without the steel being removed by explosives in absolute free fall, meaning there was zero resistance, that's magic. That's a miracle. And as I point out in the book, it is not allowed in science. One of the reasons this is an unscientific report, it is not allowed in science to appeal to a miracle. You can't, you know the joke about the guy up on the blackboard, the physicist. He's got all these formula covering board after board after board, and then at the very bottom it says, and then a miracle occurs. Well, you can't do that. But that is what NIST did. They gave us 600 pages, 600 and some pages of graphs and explanations and arguments and so on. And then in the final pages, they say, well, then a miracle occurred. The building came down in absolute free fall.
But you're talking about seven. Three miracles occurred that day.
Yeah. Now, they haven't admitted that the Twin Towers came down in absolute free fall. I think if somebody went back and measured those the way that Chandler did, I don't know that somebody has. Now, maybe somebody has, but I haven't seen it. Maybe there would be a period there, a few seconds, where they're coming down in absolute free fall, too. That'd be important to find out. But if even one of them has, and it would still be a miracle if they were just coming down in virtual free fall. You can't even come close to free fall without explosives.
Now, they've done the calculations.
Pardon?
I mean, well, you and others and physicists and engineers have done the calculations with the pancake. I mean, there's a major pause between each pancake and each structural failure.
That's right. If you have, but NIST gave up the pancake theory later on, although that's complex because there are different meanings of the pancake theory. They gave up the theory that the fellow from MIT had articulated, but they still have an element of that, and that's the point. There should have been a delay, and there is a very good paper by McQueen and somebody on the Journal of 9/11 Studies showing that with regard to the towers, with the South Tower, this idea that the top part came down and banged into the lower part, there would have had to be a jolt, which would have been that delay you're talking about.
Okay.
And there was no jolt.
David,
and
I'm
so,
going to throw
again,
out I want to throw in a few other points before you have to leave us here in about 10 minutes. I know you've been talking to Charlie Sheen because he's told me about it. And he is a guy making $50 million a year. He's got his own life. He is a scholarly fellow despite the tabloid stuff from 10, 15 years ago. He really has researched all this. He's fundamentally upset about it. He wrote his 20 bullet points and put it in a question and answer format to try to get media attention. And obviously they'll never address his 20 points. They only want to attack him, the man. Overall, what did you think about Charlie Sheen and his going public again?
Well, I think it's great, and it was paralleled in France with this famous French comedian, Jean-Marie Bigard.
He's the top comedian.
The top comedian in France. He gets thousands of people showing up for his shows, and they did threaten him at first and said, you know, it's going to destroy your career and all that. He did go quiet for a while, but he finally decided, look, this is just too important. If it hurts my career, so be it. And he's now making these really hilarious DVDs, little videos about various parts of the official story. So, but, you know, this shows you, even with people of the stature of Bigard, and now in France, another fellow, Matthew Kosovitz, a well-known actor over there coming out, and Charlie Sheen over here, along with Daniel Sunjata, the media is not going to deal with it, no matter what. Even if we, have celebrities involved, and so we can no longer rely on them. And you've known this for a long time, of course. But the truth movement in general now needs to take an end run around them, not rely on them to educate the American people.
I agree with you. Stay there, David. David, we got to go to break, but. I've talked to these actors. They're not doing this for attention. This hurts their career in many respects. They're doing it because they want to show the courage to other people. They understand it's a crime. You can't just let it hang out there. Their conscience is demanding they stand up. David Ray Griffin's our guest. 8 books on 9/11. He's in a battle with the establishment, exposing them. But absolutely, that's what Charlie Sheen and so many others, Ed Asner, have said. And all the attacks they've gone through, they're doing this because they've looked at the evidence. And if you look at the evidence and it says inside job, how could anyone in their right mind not speak out against it? It's like the banker bailout. Now they want another one. And either we expose these people and speak out against them, or things are just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse as a society.
And let me mention one way I was going to say that my new book may be useful to make an end run around the mainstream media. A group of scientists are talking about taking that book, writing a letter, getting a lot of signatures, and sending a report to the National Science Foundation, because it has said, if you know cases of scientific fraud, please report them to us. And there's also the Union of Concerned Scientists. They're also concerned about fraud. And there's also the Commerce Department, now under new management, that NIST is an agency of. And so they're going to send my book, along with letters explaining why they're reporting fraud, to these three agencies. And so this may be one way that we can get something. It's a long shot. These are all long shots, but at least there may be a chance here.
But if we fire enough torpedoes of truth, we're going to sink their lies. We just continue to have breakthrough by breakthrough. In fact, in closing, we have a high-level Prime Minister saying he went into a security briefing that morning, 5 to 10 minutes before the tower collapsed, and was told it's going to collapse. Same thing Giuliani said. I mean, it just piles up and piles up and piles up.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I mentioned in an article on Blogger, 9/11 Blogger, is this, you know, another left organization that is critical of us, the New Statesman, put out a report a few weeks ago, a front-page story saying 50 people in the world who count. Rather absurdly, they included me in that I was listed as number 41, as if I'm the 41st most important person in the world. That, of course, is ridiculous, but what they were showing recognition of is that the 9/11 truth movement is, because that's what they put me there, they said top truther. They're recognizing the importance of the 9/11 truth movement. So even though almost all the time they either ignore us or ridicule us, they know about us, they know we're gathering strength, they know that we're important.
Absolutely. Fire out the name of the book one more time for folks.
The Mysterious Collapse of World Trade Center 7, why the final official report about World Trade, about 9/11 is unscientific and false, found at all good bookstores, and if you don't have a good bookstore, Amazon.com.
David Ray Griffin, always great to speak with you. Godspeed. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Alex.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to start the fourth and final hour. We are now 25 hours and 2 minutes away from Fall of the Republic, this information warfare salvo launching, dropping, with all the people that are in it, G. Edward Griffin, Gerald Celente, Jesse Ventura, Alan Watt, professors, just the list goes on and on of who was in this film. It is up to you how explosive this documentary is going to be. If it's explosive, as explosive as Obama deception, it'll be hugely successful. But we think it's going to be even bigger. But that is up to you now. I've made the film. I'm giving you the ball. Fourth hour today, coming up later in the hour, I'm going to play the second half, live, never before seen, of my interview with Jesse Ventura. PrisonPlanet.tv viewers watching live right now will be able to see it. It's a great audio interview for all the wonderful radio listeners that are out there. I haven't really spent any time announcing this since Charlie Sheen was on, and I know we've gotten more than 10. We got like 5 yesterday, and I think they said we got more than 5 in the last week. These are already coming in. In fact, give me a close shot of this, guys. If you go to 20minuteswiththepresident.com, in fact, we'll pull that web address up. It's just 20withthepresident.com. Awesome website put together by Kurt Nemo and Janae Meadows, our graphics lady. The deadline is to get it into us, the Charlie Sheen 20 Minutes with the President contest, by November 15th on that Sunday. Then Charlie and I will have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to judge. And we're shooting for that Thursday or Friday to announce it. I got to talk to Charlie. I haven't talked to him in about 4 or 5 days. I got to talk to him, find out when he wants to be available because he's very busy to come on the show and to announce who the winners are. But you have got 20 days. And by the way, you can make 2 or 3 entries if you want. You can make 10 entries if you want. You can do it with actors. You can do it with video clips. You can do it with 2 black guys, 2 white guys, 2 aborigines, 2 women. It doesn't matter. The bullet points are the most important part to cover. Read the contest rules at 20minuteswiththepresident.com. That's 20minuteswiththepresident.com. And again, we're going to pull that web address up for people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. We have a banner up on Infowars.com on the front page, right below the flash player for the radio show. You'll see Charlie Sheen's face. Click on that. That will take you to 20minuteswiththepresident.com. We're getting a lot of entries now. I'm going to have Kurt Nemo today and tomorrow start just posting some of the entries and articles up on Infowars.com. We're going to be posting them all every few days as they come in with links up on 20minuteswiththepresident.com so you can look at the entries. But there is the site, gorgeous site. And again, you can watch the submissions right there at that third link there at the bottom. I don't think we posted any of the submissions yet. They just started pouring in last week, and I've just been trying to find time to watch them because we're busy releasing Fall of the Republic and all the promotion to do with that. But it is all coming up. And the whole point of this is, whoever you are, if you do an entry using the script of 20 Minutes with the President in any adaptation you wish, the one guy judging it is Charlie Sheen. I'll give him my input. First place, $14,000. Second place, $1,000. Third place, $500. Because when I told Charlie, said, yeah, we'll do a $10,000 prize, he then said, let's make it where after taxes you get $10,000. And that's about $13,500. But I thought, you know, $14,000 is actually making sure you get $10,000 after taxes. This is a real $10,000 prize. But that's not the reason. The reason to get involved is this will put the 20 points and the 20 minutes with the president, 2020 vision, squarely in front of the American people. And no doubt the hundreds of entries, no doubt we're going to get hundreds, the good, the bad, the ugly, the, you know, the mediocre, the excellent. These are going to be seen some millions of times, some thousands of times, regardless, tens of millions of views of 20 minutes with the president. You can't buy media attention like that for 9/11 truth. If you tried to buy $14,000 worth of ads, that wouldn't buy you 50 ads, 100 ads on local TV. So just one more thing we're doing, Charlie Sheen's idea. Then we've got a surprise. It was actually his dad's idea, Martin Sheen, at dinner. And I'll tell you about that when we get back, okay? And there's more coming up in 20 Minutes with the President as well. So you'll want to stay with us. On the other side of this quick break, your call's coming up, 1-800-25.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're back live. We're going to open the phones up on any issue you wish to discuss at 1-800-259-9231. I have my three stacks of news here that I intend to go through as well. This is just pretty much the raw interview. Going up in the next 20 minutes at Infowars.com and then PrisonPlanet.com will be the two-part interview with Jesse Ventura, where he talks about Obama and his Peace Prize, where he talks about broken promises, the war, where he talks about the two-party system. He gets in the 9/11 Commission going public, many of them saying the entire investigation is a fraud. He talks about a host of issues with me when I was out there last Wednesday. We were in a warehouse here off the side from where we were shooting. And so that's what you're going to see in the background if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, folks, we air stuff, much of it here exclusively first, at least 2 hours. Today we're doing 3.5 hours simulcast on PrisonPlanet.tv with the radio show. Turns into a complete television show with video clips, audio, documents, all of it. And it's your PrisonPlanet.tv membership. I want to thank all of you that are members that makes what we're doing here possible. You're the people making so much of this possible, and I want to thank you. So when you see a film like Fall of the Republic coming out, you financed this. You did this. So I salute you, and I thank you. And it is premiering tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central, when the show ends, at PrisonPlanet.tv. And I'm begging you, start your engines. Burn the DivX copies off the site, burn them to disk. I want to see this explode big time from day one. The system is afraid of the American people when you take action. I'll talk more about that before the show ends. But as for Charlie Sheen, 911 contest, win $14,000, spread the truth virally. All of you that make entries win. And then, yes, got to say, it was Martin Sheen's idea. I want to give him credit. We're sitting around the table talking about the contest. It was Charlie and mine's idea about 4 or 5 days before we launched 20 Minutes with the President at Charlie's home in Los Angeles while the fires were burning nearby and raining ash down on us, literally outside. But beautiful sunsets, though. Big, big red sunsets out there with the fires. And Martin had the idea of taking little segments of each one of the contest entries and clipping those together later with a big master video. that Aaron Dykes and myself will put together. You saw how good that piece me and Aaron put together, mainly Aaron. I directed it, but he did most of the work on that incredible piece that's an extra on this DVD, Charlie Sheen's message to the president. It's one of the extras. There it is right there. It's up on 20minuteswiththepresident.com. Be sure and check out the new site. And then Charlie does have some other ideas for 9/11 Truth down the road. I'll just leave it at that. But the winner will also be on the show with Charlie and myself coming up about a week or so after. We'll announce the winners on that Thursday or Friday and probably end up having the winner. We'll have to call them beforehand. We'll either have the winner on that day with us or the next week, because it'll take some time to judge them, then get a hold of the winner, and then have them on with Charlie. So that's some of the legwork we've got to do, so it's hard to pick an exact date. But within a week of November 15th, when you've got to have your submissions in, we will announce who the winner is and then have them on the show with Charlie. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Okay, so 20minuteswiththepresident.com, very excited. People are very excited about it. It's having an explosive response already. I'm surprised how many submissions we've got already coming in. And again, we'll be linking them all up at 20minuteswiththepresident.com for everybody to see in the days to come. In fact, I asked Kurt Nimmo this morning to do it, but he's so busy with 100 other things. It should be up by tomorrow, if not today. 20minuteswiththepresident.com will also post a lot of the entries up on Infowars.com. Okay, let's go ahead and go to this part two of the Jesse Ventura interview. Part one and two are going to be posted again the next 20 minutes up on Infowars.com for you to spread virally as well. Here is part of my talk with Jesse Ventura last Wednesday in Los Angeles.
Governor, in closing, 9/11, it's now come out that six of the 10 commissioners are on record saying that they believe there should be a new investigation and that the Pentagon was deceptive. That's even been in the Washington Post. Many people have called for a new investigation. Do you think, A, we should have an investigation, and B, that we'll ever see one?
I think we absolutely should have a real investigation, an investigation where you give subpoena power to where people are not allowed to testify together. And, you know, I view the Warren Commission and the 9/11 Commission, they weren't there to seek the truth. They were there to cover up the truth. And that's what they were designed to do, in my opinion. Absolutely, I think there should be a new investigation. Will there be one? I have my doubts on that. But what will have to happen is it will have to come from the grassroots. There will have to be so much political pressure put on. Well, like right now, it goes even farther, Alex. Did you see the thing where the attorney for the 9/11 Commission,
yes,
the lead attorney, Mr. Farmer,
he's got a book coming out saying it was all a cover-up.
Well, he came out and said that at some point the government decided the United States people were not going to hear the truth. Now, what more smoking gun do we need than that? You listening, Geraldo?
Absolutely. They say we're crazy, we're evil, we're bad. Six of the 10 commission members, two of their four lawyers, the head lawyer is saying it's a fraud and a cover-up. Three members are saying there should be criminal charges against the White House or the Pentagon for lying, saying that they did lie to them, but that the decision was made to deceive the American people. And that's why, Jesse, I really appreciate your courage in going public for 9/11 Truth, because if we don't expose this, they're going to continue to commit these Gulf of Tonkins, these Operation Ajax, these programs.
Absolutely. And it comes back to the very thing that people need to remember. And remember this: dissension is the greatest form of patriotism. If you don't hold your elected officials' feet to the fire, for lack of a better term, you are going to get bad government. Remember that. You don't want to go along to get along.
Governor, great seeing you.
Absolutely, as always, Alex. Great to talk to you.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
Have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
Now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
One of the greatest events in history is taking place before our very eyes.
Push it out. For this young man, he has the right to It's up to every man, woman, and child in the United States to decide whether we're going to be fooled by the slick propaganda of the social engineers or whether we're going to restore the republic.
We have seen this erosion to the point where today it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the republic.
Who's going to soak up the derivatives? Who's going to soak up the debt? Who's going to be penalized?
Enron's CEO, Ken Lay, was involved in discussions with you at the White House about helping develop this type of policy, this trading scheme.
I don't know.
Do you think it's consistent with the spirit of that provision of the Constitution to hand out $500 billion to foreigners?
Will we choose liberty or will we choose tyranny?
The republic is hanging by a thread.
You don't have a president. You have an actor.
Tim Geithner?
Okay, I didn't communicate to my guys. We have like an 11-minute interview with Jesse Ventura. And I said I want to play the second half of it. And so we started in the second half of the second half. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cue this up to the front, and we'll go out to break with the first part of the second part. So from the beginning of that file you have, go ahead and play it. Thank you.
Ventura, and this is the Alex Jones Show.
Why do you think Obama's approval rating has dropped to the low 40s?
Because he had to make hard decisions, and he's making them. Any elected official, hey, when I first got elected, my approval rating was, I think, 71 or 72, the highest in Minnesota history. Well, by the time you're in office a length of time, every time you make a decision, Alex, someone's not going to like it. You can have people that do like it, but you can have people that don't. And too many of us are one-issue people. So that when a public official makes a decision on that one issue that maybe impacts you or you feel negative about, all of a sudden now you have a negative agenda towards this elected official. So it's a natural thing that happens. Yes, when you're first elected, your approval rating is sky high. But the longer you're in office, I actually sunk below 50% at one point. I was down to 45%. And the press came at me and they said, well, you've been as high as 70%. Your approval rating's now under 50. Well, I looked at him and said, well, gee, if I'm at 45, I'm 7 points up because I won with 37. Remember, in a 3-person race, those numbers drop drastically.
Exactly.
So no matter, even at 45%, I was still 7 points higher than what I won the election with. So how can they accuse me of failing?
Absolutely. Two final questions,
sure.
Governor, and I'll let you get back to working on the TV show here. By the way, I'm honored to be part of it.
We're honored to have you.
And I'm excited to be involved. No, it's great getting to hang out with you. But seriously, you were against the banker bailout back last year when they first launched it. Now they want a new bailout. They did a bait and switch. They kept the trillions of dollars for themselves. They're not loaning it. What's your view on that?
Well, if you want a true bailout, you have to do what I did in Minnesota. When we had a budget surplus in Minnesota, I gave the money directly to the people. If you want to truly stimulate the economy, give it to the public.
Absolutely.
You know, because we will spend it. And will that not stimulate the economy? Isn't that what they want? Us with money, spending our money?
But they're not. They're hoarding it.
Well, they're giving it to the banks rather than the people. And the banks are like a middleman.
And then they loan it back to us at interest.
Exactly. So if you truly want a stimulus package, in my opinion, you give the money directly to the people.
What do you think of Ron Paul and others' move to audit the private secretive Federal Reserve?
I think it's a great idea. I don't agree with Ron Paul on everything. You know, one thing, he's pro-life.
All right, News Blitz coming up. I will go to a ton of news here at the end of the transmission. Let's go to Hunter in England first, though. Hunter, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Yes, Alex. I'm a new listener. I was back home on leave probably like 6 months ago, and my brother was burning a whole bunch of copies of the Obama deception to take to a gun show down in Salt Lake. And so I watched it, and a lot of it just made common sense. You know, everything that you said, don't just take my word for it. Research it yourself, so that's what I do. But I just had a couple statements. With Obama's program to increase school throughout the year and the length of the school days. The United States, I'm in the Air Force, the United States Air Force decided instead of giving the people an hour and a half, 3 days a week during duty hours to work out for their PT test, they now decided as of January 1st that that will be done on your own time and not during work hours. You know?
And I want to point out that Americans aren't lazy. We work more hours than anybody in the world. That's a statistic you can pull up. We have less vacation, everything. They are forcing us. First, they make the women go work. Now they take your kids away. All so we could pay taxes to the bankers to fund their empire.
And another thing, since I am a new listener, I do get into some conversation with people at my work. And there was an NCO in my shop today. He's like, oh, there was another nut, you know, another theorist in my, his tech school class because he was cross training into this career field. He said this person who worked the flight line at Langley Air Force Base on 9/11 was telling people in the class that an F-15 that came back was missing one of the missiles, and everyone was making fun of the. He said everyone was making fun of him, calling him nuts and crazy and things like that.
Even though we've got generals that have gone public and other people and witnesses and what the state police said they saw in Pennsylvania, that two AIM-9s or these air-to-air missiles were fired into Flight 93.
And my brother has the subscription to the Prison Planet. I'm going to burn the video. I have some couple friends here in England. We're going to go to the houses and slip them through the mailbox and try and get much as out there as possible. Because, you know, it is very important that people know this, and hopefully, you know, we're not too late. And I appreciate your time.
Well, awesome. Awesome, my friend. I mean, the explosive power of the people taking action. We have a criminal foreign banking takeover happening, and the people are standing up and saying no, and this film chronicles who the criminals are, what their master plan is, how to stop them. That's why Fall of the Republic is so important. It is up to you, the listeners, how big this film gets. I make it. I put it out there. It is a weapon. Use it. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you, Hunter, an American in the Air Force in England. Ted in Delaware. Ted, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a relatively quick... I'm what you would call a noob in this. I've recently been awoke for maybe a year. I knew something was wrong. I was staring at the pool, and you pushed me in. But now I sort of feel like I need a little bit more than the DVDs, because I don't have the information like you do, 10 years of researching, so I 14. Can't really express to people, you know, face-to-face. I would like to maybe get a poetic sort of letter to the police and the military, something we could print out in mass, just the people, the new people like me that can really get out there and get after these people. Maybe a letter, just somewhat poetic, somewhat facts, you know, small, that we can all print
okay.
out and hand to people.
Okay, Pat Buchanan for WorldNet Daily. It's syndicated all over the place, but World had an incredible article about Oath Keepers to the military today. Jack McClam's Vampire Killer 2000, a letter to the police and military written back in the mid-90s. The police read it. It's like revelation. It came true. Vampire Killer 2000, it's everywhere. My police state films. Listeners are welcome to write up their own idea of a message to the police and military. We should reach out to them. They are waking up. And send it to writers@infowars.com. We'll post it. Let me be clear. I don't have all the energy to even produce all the answers I know. I talk about it here on the show. All we talk about is solutions. Solutions is identifying the criminal bankers and bringing them to justice. That's number one. And not paying this national debt to these foreign banks, arresting these crooks. We've given them tens of trillions of our own money. We've got to point out it's fraud. I mean, what if we just let Madoff keep running Ponzi schemes, and if he put a gold crown on and announced he was God, would we have to follow him? No, he's a fraud. It's like, what was the solution to ending slavery in this country? Black people started revolting, and white people started revolting against it. And they said, this is inhuman and wrong and evil. And they were called kooky minorities in 1800, but 60-something years later, it was illegal. You know, black people 60 years ago, 50 years ago, couldn't eat in white restaurants. Now they can. You just say, I'm not your slave. Oh, it's our new theme song. Absolutely wonderbar. Wonderbar or wonderbar? Wunderbar. Okay. Wanderlust. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Belzer, I believe. Belzer. Yeah, I saw this like a week ago. We posted it up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I keep forgetting to play it. And I wanted to play it just to illustrate. He's a pretty big actor, a big comedian. And he goes on Bill Maher and brings up how the Federal Reserve is the real government, runs it all. And a lot of people have known this, but now the majority know it. The vast majority in every major poll and are angry and want to audit it and want to abolish it. It is the real government. And we are on the path towards bringing these people to justice. I want to play this clip, and then we're going to do a news blitz and then take a bunch of other calls from Ray, Jim, Chris, and others. But here he is on Bill Maher. And Bill Maher just makes jokes about this. Even though Kennedy did sign an executive order to start abolishing the Federal Reserve, even though this is the true shadow government, even though the Federal Reserve is private, Bill Maher knows that, so he doesn't joke about that. The truth is coming out any way you slice it or dice it. But here is the clip.
Quickly, in 1910, Senator Aldrich on his private train brought a bunch of billionaire bankers, the Morgans, all these different people, the Warburgs, down to this place called Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia, and they figured out a way to create the Federal Reserve because central banks were looked down upon by the people and they caused a lot of problems. By creating the Federal Reserve, they convinced the Congress and the people that the Federal Reserve is a government arm. It's not. They borrow money from private banks. We're owned by banks. And you can't alter that. John Kennedy wanted to stop borrowing, wanted to stop using the Federal Reserve, use silver certificates to determine the value of the dollar, and print money through the Treasury. So they exploded his head. The point is...
Well, that's quite a connection you made.
Yeah. Well, let's forget the Kennedy part. He did want to do that. Okay. He did want to buy the Federal... Isn't it the Federal
I've heard a lot of reasons why he got shot. I never heard that.
Well, that's the reason. And that's the scam. It's not billions of dollars that banks control. It's trillions. You don't mess with the banks. And Senator Durbin said this place is owned by the banks on the floor of the Senate. You know better than anyone.
Federal Reserve has been rapidly increasing the rate at which it's printing dollars. In fact, it took 200 years for the money
to go from... And the folks at Federal Jack added some of their own comments on that video. I want to do a news blitz, and then, as I said, end the show with your calls today. But before I do that, I also want this hour, I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors that have made today's radio show possible. And the rebroadcast is coming up with David Ray Griffin and, of course, Lindsey Williams. So you don't want to miss that on this Tuesday, October 20th, 2009 edition. MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, and ice storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor. We're getting reviews from listeners. They love it. Solutions from Science. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the power source 1800-watt generator, and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. The government doesn't own the sun yet, so make your move now. Go to one word, www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. And in closing, and then on to the news blitz, from the same great folks at Solutions from Science, SurvivalSeedBank.com. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been many times in American history, pilgrims, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any barter item. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Plus, gardening's fun, folks, especially healthy, non-GMO organic seeds. Governments are storing seeds. The UN is storing seeds. Globalists of every stripe are storing seeds near the Arctic Circle. Why do you think this is? You know why. Control and power. Solutions from Science is trying to get seeds out of the globalist hands into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. A survival seed bank from Solutions from Science contains enough open pollinated seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. Seeds in the survival seed bank are hand-picked for exceptional germination rates. Order a couple of seed banks today while you still can. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com or 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. SurvivalSeedBank.com. Okay, let me just news blitz some of the news I have here. You know they've come out and announced what we've known for over a decade, that the Pentagon and the Department of Energy and the Department of Commerce and the Department of Education and Department of Labor and all these federal departments have multi-billion dollar budgets a year apiece to go out and pay for the scripts to be written in dramas, sitcoms, TV shows, game shows, children's shows especially. I mean, when I watch children's cartoons a couple times a year randomly, I'll usually be on vacation, turn the TV on, just to let my kids watch some TV every once in a while. And it's like, oh, the earth is bad. There's too many people. The UN's going to save us. The UN fights off the aliens. Parents are bad. Microchips in your body, you're good. The government knows best. And they've got a list of these. Well, here it is. CIA to monitor internet chatter for anti-government sentiment. The CIA admits in Wired magazine, a bunch of other places, that they are going to track the American people, and the Pentagon is countering the American people with blogs and operatives and hired think tanks and hired PR firms. And that's who's out attacking us on InfoWars and Prison Planet and YouTube. I mean, they don't even hide it. They have a weird Wikipedia group who give themselves brigade awards, and they actually get teenagers to help them. And they go, yeah, I'm special ops, black ops, fighting the evil Alex Jones. That son of a bitch is a traitor. And they're all proud of themselves, putting out propaganda and demonizing Ron Paul. I mean, it's real, folks. And it's going on everywhere. So that article is important. Scientists who work for government accused of spying. It looks like in the FBI affidavit, they've got him recorded asking for petty sums. I mean, turns out he worked for an Israeli company. They already suspected him of spying. He worked in space-based weapons, space vehicles, spy satellites. This is a master scientist. For $10,000, he gave them data cards. He gave them memory sticks, USB drives, the little sticks. It says in the affidavit, with total satellite data information, what they're doing, how they're doing it, nuclear weapons systems he wanted to give them for $10,000. And it looks bad with these Israeli companies. One of them, it says, paid him $200,000. Here it is, $225,000 for one Israeli company he worked for. Now, they haven't proven yet that that's a front, but most big Israeli companies are. But the point is, this guy would sell out. But see, he's low level. I mean, he's a high level scientist, but low level compared to Sandy Berger stealing the highest level NSA intercepts out of Congress. In the bubble room, they've got a room where Intelligence Committee people can see documents. And it was incriminating stuff on Clinton, so he stuck it in his pants and his sock. He didn't get in trouble. And as bad as that is to steal incriminating information, I read the affidavit. I scanned over the articles. I spent about 30 minutes on this, and this guy looks as guilty as sin. It's kind of encouraging that the FBI would actually bust a criminal. But at the same time, if they are setting him up, it's the biggest setup I've ever seen. Because they have video, they have recordings, they had meetings in hotel rooms. And for $9,000, I said 10. He asked for 10. He got 9 for some reason. He gave him, oh, here's a bunch of satellite data worth tens of billions of dollars, potentially. And he was like, I'll give you all the nuke secrets, because he worked on nukes as well. I mean, this is insane. And my question is, if Israel's been caught spying on us more than even the Russians, why is Israel allowed to run the one company that controls over 95% of all telephone routing and caller ID systems in the country? Why does Israel have a company that's government-controlled that guards most of the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile? I mean, my whole issue is Israel's always infighting with themselves and killing each other in government and all that subterfuge. Our government is a joke, ladies and gentlemen. So I thought I would just mention that. So many threats to federal officials that Secret Service make or tell investigations into financial crimes. This is from the Boston Globe, reposted at Cryptong.com. But there's the Boston Globe. And I remember scores of articles. I mean, literally, I can't keep track. I could say 50, 100, I don't know. I've probably seen 50, if I, probably more, articles the last 3 or 4 years. We could search engine this right now, in fact. FBI cuts number of white-collar fraud investigators. Try searching that. If you're a multimillionaire or a billionaire, there are almost no investigators for you. They've cut them down to nothing. And they put the investigators not on middle-class people making 100 grand a year. They put the fraud investigators on blue-collar people making $20,000 a year. Hard-working, I mean, because, again, crooks run the system. And now they're going to cut it again. Just like more than half of Congress, it's come out, doesn't pay taxes and then doesn't get in trouble. Just like the Treasury Secretary doesn't pay him and doesn't get in trouble. FBI cuts white-collar crime force. Yeah, click on that. And then that's a blog. And it'll have a link to the actual article. But what was the source on that? Point is, it's all over mainstream news that that's going on. I mean, here's Boston Globe. The unprecedented number of death threats against President Obama, a rise in racist hate groups, and a new wave of anti-government fervor threatened to overwhelm the U.S. Secret Service, according to government officials and reports, raising new questions about 144-year-old agency overall mission. And then it goes on to say the Secret Service is basically going to stop investigating all different types of white-collar crime. And I mean, it's the same across the board. They've always got excuses. We are worried about weak dollar, Euro Group chief says. 16 countries that use the euro single currency are worried by the weakness of the dollar on currency markets, the head of the Euro Group said Monday. They may do what they did a couple years ago and go in and buy dollars trying to prop it up, but it's only putting off the inevitable. Fraud inquiry slashes Karzai vote to 48%, setting stage for runoff. This Unicole executive, this fraud, we told you when they had the election, I don't know, was it 6 months ago? I forget, that it was a complete fraud. And now they've had to admit it's a fraud. But see, in America, we can't admit that many elections are frauds, even though they've been caught, because they'll give you an Obama after 8 years of clear fraud. People go, oh, well, then Democrats can get elected. There must not be fraud. But now that they're in power, Republicans aren't going to be able to get elected. It's all staged, ladies and gentlemen. They put in the establishment candidates. Senator Hagel owns the electronic voting machines that over 80% of his ballots were cast for in Nebraska. I mean, these guys, he owned the company before he became a senator. The poll said he was going to lose by 14 to 16 points, depending on the poll. He said, I'm going to win, won by over 14. That's a 30-point swing almost. Polls never did that before. 99% of us don't want NAFTA and GATT. It continues. 80-plus percent don't want open borders. It continues. 99% don't want the banker bailout. It continues because the government is rogue and criminal. And these bankers are going to steal everything and leave us with a police state to protect their exit with the money if we don't stand up against them. And they're going to use the carbon tax to shake all the money out of our pockets. Speaking of that, I mentioned this yesterday, but never got to it. Here is Reuters. And they say in this article, and they do this as a stunt, that they may not allow there to be a World Cup in South Africa because of the carbon footprint, the evil carbon dioxide that plants breathe, that are put out by the jets. And it says in the article that they're looking at what they're going to have to do, or maybe they'll just put a tax. See, first they say, oh, we may cancel it. Everybody gets scared, and they just put a big tax on it. Now, I have another article here in my stack where Schwarzenegger has to sign a waiver bill for carbon footprint just to allow a new NFL stadium. He's banning TV sets over 40 inches. Forget just a tax, saying they use too much energy. They're setting the precedent to micromanage your lives. They've already banned almost all over Europe space heaters, those outdoor propane or butane space heaters that work so great. You see at outdoor restaurants, they're banning them. They're banning fireplaces. Don't believe me? California's looking at it. Google it for folks right now. Europe, some European nations ban space heaters. You'll see BBC. And they report it like it's good. Carbon emissions from next year's soccer World Cup are expected to soar from 2006 benchmark set by Germany, host nation, and South Africa, said Monday. Harmful emissions accelerate global warming and major sports events. Total made up. Humans are exhaling this, including Olympic and World Cup tournaments. The FIFA 2000 Cup will be the largest carbon footprint of any major event, with the goal to be climate neutral, South Africa's water environment resource minister said. She said the estimate carbon footprint of Africa's first soccer cup is 896,000 tons of carbon dioxide. Oh, how deadly. The plants will breathe it. Air travel to visits and long-haul destinations expected to make 67% of the country's total carbon emissions during that one-month event next year. This footprint is almost 10 times the footprint of the cup in Germany, adding that Germany did not include air travel in its carbon footprint. Then you go on to some other articles I have on it where they mention, well, there it is, EU threatens to ban patio heaters. If you pull it up, they already did it. That's an article from over a year and a half ago. That's Times of London right there. I mean, this isn't a game. Where's my Schwarzenegger? Here's my Schwarzenegger. L.A. Times, Los Angeles, are you ready for some NFL football? Where is Hank Williams Jr.? Are you ready for some football? Yeah. Governor Schwarzenegger wants some football and jobs. Governor Schwarzenegger said he's going to sign an environmental exemption bill that will clear the way for construction of the L.A. stadium and its large carbon footprint. Oh, see, all this means is they get to build. In Austin, they stole tens of thousands of acres under SOS, saying it'd be parkland. They took it all, gave it to the local swindlers, gave it to the big environmental bodies, the banks, and then turned around and built all over it. This is how they roll. Turns out the federal government, AP's reporting, is paying off doctors to support Obama. He goes out to these events and hands them white lab coats. He asks them to put it on to look official. That's confirmed. Cities and counties are having to shut down and lay off workers everywhere. It's only going to get worse. All our tax money will go to pay debt to the bankers and nothing else. And some police to beat us in the head with billy clubs to pay it. We are now 24 hours and 5.5 minutes from the premiere of Fall of the Republic, Volume 1, The Presidency of Barack H. Obama. The exclusive full 11-minute interview with Jesse Ventura on some key subjects is now posted at InfoWars.com for everybody. Or Aaron's in the process of getting it up there right now. We got a lot of other videos, like I go wild with a sledgehammer with the rest of the guys. I think Weldon Henson did the best job along with I thought I was good because it's been years since I used a sledgehammer. And I was like trying with full force to hack through it. Of course, I got it started, and I did pretty good. But they showed me, no, you just swing it and let the sledgehammer do it. It's kind of like the audience. You're the sledgehammer bashing into the New World Order, tearing out a wall into the other side over there. Finally got our city permits. Took 2.5 months. We still haven't gotten all of them. City of Austin, you make me sick, you bureaucratic trash. I'm telling you, it's like communist Russia or something. All right, let's jam in a few final calls. Ray in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. This is Ray of Fluoride Free Austin, and I was a guest on your show.
Yes.
Yes, I would like to give you two important updates and then a request. Number one, my former blog site is now a full-fledged website. The address is www.fluoridefreeaustin, all one word, com.
And you know, I would love to get the water out so I don't have to go through the atmospheric water generator and all the other stuff. Austin has some of the best aquifer water in the world. Why can't we have our water, Austin? Why do you dump poison in it? You guys were there with us at the tour where they admit they put hundreds of chemicals in the water from toxic waste dumps. Give us your website address.
www.fluoridefreeaustin, fluoridefreeaustin.com. And this website, which still includes the blog, is brand new, thanks to a great webmaster, Greg. And it's starting small, but it's going to get bigger and better. So I'd like people to go up there and just explore what's available. We're going to be creating more educational material.
Good. I mean, I've got tens of thousands of Austinite supporters. I wouldn't call them fans. They're supporters, fellow believers in freedom. Let's get the stinking city to get the stinking toxic waste out of our water. The National Dental Association says it's bad now and says don't use it. The American Medical Association admits it's bad. The EPA top scientists say it's bad, but the lobbyists pay to put it in our water because they'd have to pay to get rid of the toxic waste. Get it out of my stinking water. Come on, people. Let's get the stuff out. Ma'am, I appreciate your call. We ought to sue them everything else. Just stop putting up with their crap. They're forced medicating us. Jim in Missouri, last caller. Hit us and hit us hard.
Alex, thanks a lot. I just want to say, attaboy to you. I've been following you for the last 10 years. I can't thank your staff enough for doing what they do and putting themselves and you putting yourself in that situation that you're in, that we're all in. You know, I'm just an average individual, and I've been following you, like I said. And, you know, when the news rolls so quickly that the devastating news that comes out last week becomes whitewash, there's a real problem. And what my major issue is what can we do about this Copenhagen situation?
You go to every city council, because they're local minions of the feds and the globalists, and you tell them, we don't want carbon tax. In Austin, they hired an Army Special Ops, Black Ops commander to run the takeover. It's mafia. They go, oh, you're breathing carbon dioxide. I got to tax you. I mean, they're putting poison in our water. We outnumber them 1,000 to 1. Get the poison out of our water, you stupid jackasses. Look, good job, sir. We'll talk to you tomorrow live retransmission with Lindsey Williams, with David Ray Griffin, with everybody else. Great job, crew. We are now 24 hours out from the release of Fall of the Republic. Get the videos. Get them out.
America's number one source for independent.